memory. At 7 o'clock on Wednesday, November the 19th, a China crisis, the threat has risen, warns the Speaker. Meanwhile, Conservative MP and outspoken critic of China, Sir Ian Duncan-Smith, said yesterday...
They want to have a super embassy in the middle of London, which is really hopeless. It'll just get an extra 200 spies involved in it. Nobody else believes they should have it. None of the Europeans do, and the Americans don't.
And that's still going before the planning board. So where are you on the biggest embassy in the whole of Europe planned for London with that crisis? In other news, and this is in quotes, getting away with murder, question mark? Speaking from the Oval Office yesterday, President Trump claimed Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman knew nothing about the killing of journalist Jamal Khashoggi back in 2018.
A lot of people didn't like that gentleman that you're talking about. Whether you like him or didn't like him, things happen. But he knew nothing about it, and we can leave it at that. You don't have to embarrass our guest by asking a question like that.
They've only gone and deigned it. Yes, Scotland are off to the World Cup beating Denmark.
Is that good?
Plus, stand by, inflation figures due to drop any minute. You'll hear them here on LBC. 7 o'clock news is next.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom, US politicians have paved the way for Donald Trump to publish more files into the investigation of Jeffrey Epstein. The US Congress has voted to force officials to release documents into the late sex offender. President Trump says he'll sign the bill into law as soon as he receives it. Republican Congressman Thomas Massie says the result is a moral victory for Epstein's accusers.
Truth will triumph over deception and obfuscation. Transparency will triumph over dark money. Partisanship will fall away to bipartisanship. It's going to be a victory for survivors.
Donald Trump has defended the Saudi crown prince in face of questions over the murder of the journalist Jamal Khashoggi. The reporter was killed in the kingdom's consulate in Istanbul in 2018. Mr. Trump has insisted Mohammed bin Salman knew nothing about the killing, contradicting US intelligence. The crown prince previously denied ordering the operation, blaming rogue agents. The government's announced a plan to tackle political interference by foreign powers after a new warning by MI5. The security service issued an alert to politicians telling them they face a significant risk of espionage from the Chinese state. MI5 says it's identified two profiles on the networking site LinkedIn being used to recruit individuals. Beijing has labelled the claims pure fabrication. A highly critical report warned the UK isn't prepared to defend itself from a military attack. The Defence Select Committee says efforts to boost forces are moving at a glacial pace. Tan Desi is the committee's chair and has spoken to LBC.
It also became abundantly clear to us that the UK and its European NATO allies remain over-reliant on the US as they have failed to invest in critical capabilities, basically benefiting from the peace dividend. And we're also now calling on the UK government to urgently strengthen both its conventional and nuclear capabilities.
The report comes as the Defence Secretary prepares to announce 13 potential sites for new munition factories. Some breaking news. The latest inflation figures show it rose by 3.6% in the 12 months to October. That's down from 3.8% in September. We'll have more in our news headlines. And Scotland's men have qualified for the Football World Cup. That's for the first time since 1998. Stoppage time goals by Kieran Tierney and Kenny McLean gave them a 4-2 win over Denmark. In the city, the FTSE 100 will reopen later at 95.52. It closed down 123 yesterday. The pound buys $1.31 and a euro 13. LBC weather, dry, cold and sunny for many today. Some wintry showers developing for the north of Scotland and southwestern coastlines, a high of 6 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
The Virgin Media Black Friday sale is here. Get 3 months of lightning-fast broadband totally free. That's caught your attention. Like an elephant cruising on a truck through the bright lights of Bangkok. Switching is easy too. We handle everything for you. Yeah, that's Black Friday, the Virgin Media way. Visit virginmedia.com. Virgin Fibre areas. User speed and month full price depends on package choice. Ends 10th of December. Terms apply.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning. 4 minutes after seven, Wednesday, the 19th of November. The threat from China is, quotes, covert and calculated. Not my words, those of MI5, as MPs and peers are warned of that. We'll give you all the background. The speaker saying the Chinese threat has risen. And yet still on the books at the moment, or on the cards, is their biggest embassy in the whole of Europe. £750 million development close to the Tower of London. Simple question, yes or no. Is it a Chinese takeaway? Thank you, but no thanks. Or do we, yes, build, baby, build? We'll look at that in more detail. In a related story, Britain is not ready to defend itself against an invasion from a foreign or hostile power. Chair of the Defence Select Committee, Dan Dacey.
We may be falling well short of our NATO obligations to maintain and develop individual and collective capacity to resist armed attack.
I'm a billionaire. I'm a millionaire, or even an I'm young, and get me out of here. Record number of people leaving this country. Former Manchester United and England football star Rio Ferdinand has recently relocated with his family to Dubai. He told LBC last month why he's decided to leave the UK.
When there's things that are falling apart and there's things that are going wrong in the country, and then you do sit there and go, well, I'm paying all this tax. Is it really going towards the things that are actually benefiting the people that live here?
Last week, we told you about what are called porch pirates. Now it's parcel problems reaching a record. 15 million people are let down on the doorstep. Are you one of those? What are the problems that you've had? You can name and shame the company and tell us the most extraordinary place where they've left supposedly one of your deliveries. And the Tartan Army are on the march.
Absolutely brilliant now. It wasn't going well, but all of a sudden, they came up trunk.
And that was the manager. No, not really. I'm absolutely thrilled to report that Scotland's off to the World Cup for the first time in many, many years. Well done, the lads.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
I said right at the top there, MPs and peers have been warned. And this is the words, by the way, not my words, MI5 words. Covert and calculated, close quotes, attempt to recruit parliamentarians through two LinkedIn profiles linked to the Chinese intelligence service. The spies from China are reportedly relentlessly targeting the UK Parliament, according to that unprecedented warning from MI5. In a move that critics claim makes a mockery of Labour's attempt to cozy up to the hostile state, the security service took the unusual step of naming two female recruiters who are working on behalf of Chinese intelligence services, using the social media platform LinkedIn to send thousands of messages to MPs, aides, peers, parliamentary staff, try and trick them into sharing sensitive information. Security Minister Dan Jarvis took to the House of Commons yesterday to condemn the activity.
This activity involves a covert and calculated attempt by a foreign power to interfere with our sovereign affairs in favour of its own interests. And this government will not tolerate it.
Responding to the Conservatives, Shadow National Security Minister Alicia Kern said the government needs to go further in recognising China as a threat.
That is literally why we introduced the Foreign Influence Registration Scheme. So instead of the communications plan and private closed-door meetings announced today, we urge the government to put China in the enhanced tier of the first scheme.
And yet they can't even make their mind up about this so-called super embassy. Bought in 2018 for £255 million, a site close to the Tower of London, if it goes ahead at a cost of north of £700 million, it would be their biggest embassy in the whole of Europe. Well, this, of course, is latest attempt of espionage has led critics to say the government should not allow the embassy to, or the super embassy, to continue at Royal Mint Court. Here's Conservative MP, long-time China sceptic, Sir Ian Duncan-Smith.
China wants things from us. They want to have a super embassy in the middle of London, which is really hopeless. It'll just get an extra 200 spies involved in it. That's, nobody else believes they should have it. None of the Europeans do, and the Americans don't. And most of the Parliament doesn't believe that. But they'll probably get that granted by a weak Labour government. And I think it's the important feature, which is know who you are, don't put up with nonsense from other countries, and they will respect you for it. But kowtowing to China only makes us look wet and pathetic.
Conservative MP for Tunbridge, which is in God's own land of Kent, and former security minister Tom Tugendhat joins me now. Tom has been a long-standing, also another sceptic of China, and set up the China Research Group. I'll come to you on the so-called super embassy in a moment, but your reaction to what we heard from MI5, and indeed, for that matter, from the speaker yesterday. Mr. Tugendhat, good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Look, it's a great pleasure to join you from the proud and independent kingdom of Kent. But the reality is that the Chinese spying against the United Kingdom, and particularly against Parliament, is not something new. And it's not just about us. It's not just about MPs. I'm afraid journalists, people in your position, are being influenced in various different ways, being offered inducements from management. People in business are being offered money in order to secure, different bits of privileged information, which may go into making some kit or maybe into getting a better deal for a Chinese product. You know, the Chinese use espionage in the way that we would use market research. They've just got a huge country. They've got a lot of intelligence agents, and they used it very aggressively.
What should the government, the British government's response be, Tom?
Well, I mean, I don't entirely criticise what Dan's done. I think, you know, Dan's a very old friend and he's a good guy. And what he's done is the first few steps. I'm afraid what he needs to do is introduce the foreign influence registration scheme with China in the enhanced tier. Now, he's done the first bit, but he hasn't done the second. And I know why he hasn't done the second. It's not because of him. It's because the Treasury doesn't want to put spokes in the wheels of business, and I understand that, and the Foreign Office doesn't want to make an enemy, and I understand that. But instead what that means is it means that Chinese agents are wandering around completely free to do whatever they like. And the whole point of the first scheme that I introduced, and that was one of the key bits of the National Security Act that I introduced in 2023, is that it means that intelligence officers, our intelligence officers from MI5, have a starting point on where to look. They're able to see patterns, they're able to see themes, they're able to see, you know, areas where Chinese spies, basically, are going around our country looking for information. And by the way, it's not just us. The Americans have got one. The Australians have got one. Even the Europeans have now got one. So, I mean, frankly, we are now a softer target than we really should be.
But presumably, as they're doing it to us, we're doing it to them in Beijing and elsewhere, aren't we, Tom Tugendhat?
Well, I'm not going to talk about what we do, and I'm not making a moral point on whether or not the Chinese have the right to collect intelligence or not. Look, we operate some of the world's finest intelligence services. I'm not making a moral point at all. What I am making a moral point on is what our job is to defend ourselves, and I think that is absolutely essential. By the way, the idea that British businesses can wander around China without being spotted, come on, pull the other one.
Lastly, a lot of this operates at a level, candidly, that is above my pay grade and some of my listeners. We're not MPs, we're not peers, we're not special advisers. What we do know, though, is that we could have the biggest embassy, Chinese embassy, in the whole of Europe, 750 million plus, and it's on the planning schedule. What would your advice be, Tom?
Well, my advice is very clear. Don't do it. I mean, you know, whatever message you're trying to send, this embassy sends the wrong one. It says China has a major base in the centre of the city. Really? So you're going to invest in the city when you think all of your comms is going to go past a Chinese embassy that can pick up the signals? Really? If you're talking about tourism, you know, you're going to go and visit the Tower of London and just see how the United Kingdom used to be a proud independent kingdom and is now being overshadowed by a Chinese embassy. I mean, come on. It just sends the wrong message. And by the way, it's not like China is our essential business partner. China is 0.2% of foreign direct investment. It's about £3 billion a year. Spain, £50 billion. America, £580 billion. These are numbers from the Treasury, from the Trade Department last year. And you know, this is, we're making, you know, we're turning a salamander into a dragon. It's ridiculous. We need to be much more frank about what we're dealing with and be absolutely clear about what's in our interest.
Grateful for your time. Thank you. Enjoy your day with the good folk of Kent. Tom Tugendhat, former security minister, Conservative MP for Tunbridge, 13 after 7. Listening, Isabel Hilton, journalist and broadcaster specialising in Chinese affairs, founder of the China Dialogue Trust. I wonder if I could ask you in a snappy-ish sentence, what is the China Dialogue Trust seeking to achieve? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Well, it was founded in 2006 to have a conversation about climate change and environment with China. That's what it did.
Okay.
What it does still. I'm no longer there.
But, Isabel, do you see China as friend or foe?
Well, I don't find that binary very helpful, to be honest. You know, it's the second biggest economy, as we know. Almost everything in your pocket has, you know, some Chinese component. It's a sometimes antagonistic power. I don't think our interests always coincide, but sometimes they do. The key thing is to know the difference. You know, where do we have to be careful? Where do we seek to, pursue mutual interests? And my concern is that in this country, a lot of people are not aware where they should be careful, including apparently the MOD. And, you know, we just need to be better informed. If we're not informed, if we're not protecting our interests, we can't have a conversation at all. And that would be very, very difficult.
In what areas should we exercise more caution, Isabel?
Well, for example, there's this extraordinary story about the MOD buying Chinese electric vehicles. Seriously? They buy Chinese electric vehicles for civilian use, and then they tell people not to talk in them. For heaven's sake, you know, that's the kind of decision. It would be no doubt a Treasury instruction to go for the cheapest vehicle. And constantly we're seeing Treasury influence getting us into situations that we then have to spend money getting out of.
You're very well informed in this area. Where are you on the idea of the super embassy, Isabel?
Well, you know, I gave evidence to the Security Committee alongside Nigel Inkster, former deputy head of MI6, who seemed relatively relaxed about the embassy. He's better informed than I am. It's a very large building. The Chinese prefer to have their staff living in the building, which is, you know, one reason why they want a large building. They're not going to torture people in the basement of the embassy. If they're going to do that, they'll do it somewhere not in the embassy. You know, I doubt they're going to do that anyway. So the question is the cables. And again, that's an example of electronic vulnerability that we just need to get better at. Reroute the cables or protect them. It's not a new problem, if you like.
Isabel, yeah. Thank you for your time this morning. Isabel Hilton, journalist and broadcaster, founder of the China Dialogue Trust. This is a simple question, is it? It's a yes or a no. Build, baby, build the Chinese embassy or a Chinese takeaway. Thank you, but no thanks. Which is it for you? We'll take your calls on that. Plus, I did mention the inflation figure would be in.
Some welcome news for the Chancellor and indeed for the rest of us as the rate of inflation slipped last month ahead of the budget. I'm Christian May from City AM and I'll be discussing this and the rest of the business news with Nick shortly.
Plus, I'm a Brit.
I'm leaving on a jet plane, don't know when I'll be back.
Get me out of here. Record number of Britons leaving, and it's not just billionaires, millionaires, it's the young as well. We'll give you more details on that. The 7:15 LBC News headlines are read by Dominic Ellis.
US politicians have voted to force the Justice Department to release more files into the late sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. A highly critical report warned the UK isn't prepared to defend itself from a military attack. And figures just released show the rate of inflation slowed slightly last month to 3.6% after standing at 3.8% in September. LBC weather, dry, cold and sunny for many, some wintry showers for the north of Scotland. A high of 6 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Dave Goff. The RQ's on the M40 northbound. There's one lane closed because of an accident between Junction 1 for the Denham roundabout and Junction 1A for the M25. It's slow on the M1 southbound. It's partly blocked after Junction 8 for Hemel Hempstead after an accident. In Clapham, the South Circular Poinders Road westbound is blocked from Clarence Avenue to Roddenhurst Road because of an accident. So the RQ's. The RQ's in Northolt on the A40 going into town. It's partly blocked because of an accident after the Target roundabout. On the trains, at Thames Link and Great Northern have delays of up to 15 minutes and cancellations between Stevenage and Alexandra Palace after engineering works overran. Chiltern Railway services aren't stopping at Wembley Stadium. That's because of an investigation. And on the Tube, there's no Piccadilly line between Rainers Lane and Uxbridge.
This is LBC.
Agent parent, if your child experiences bedwetting, your mission, should you choose to accept it, is Operation Leak Free Night. Step 1, dress your little ninja in Pampers Ninjamas. Step 2, complete the evening activity chart. Toilet, PJs, lights out. Each task earns a Ninjama star. 3 stars, you've unlocked peak ninja powers, leak protection and unstoppable confidence. Mission accomplished at sunrise. Try Pampers Ninjamas now. Ninjamas!
This is LBC. Listen on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app. Download it now from your app store.
Cybersecurity matters more than ever for businesses across the UK. LBC's been exploring how cyber attacks happen, who's behind them, and the steps you can take to protect your business.
Probably the number one route in would be phishing emails. Old software that's not been patched or updated is another classic way in. And then there's always those people that are clicking on links that they shouldn't do, provides a route through for those hackers.
Watch the full interview on our free Global Player app. Thanks to BT Business, LBC.
For the nappies, peekaboos and tea parties. Mess, tantrums and sleepless nights. All those yo-yos, action figures and shinies. Lifts to mates, lifts to parties, lifts everywhere. For each and every one of those teenage years. Let's be honest. You probably owe your parents one. So tell them about pension credit. It could boost their pension income by an average of over £4,000 a year. Pension credit. Credit where credit's due. Eligibility criteria apply.
Calling all young creatives. It's time to get prepped for the journalism industry. And where better than Global Academy? Here's Molly, a journalism student in Year 12.
Outside of the classroom, we run our own news platform called The Loop. I do a daily news bulletin and produce videos for socials. We learn everything we need to be a journalist and have even learned alongside the news team at Global.
Global Academy. Apply now and join us in Years 10 or 12. GlobalAcademy.com.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
20 minutes after 7, Hugh, you'll be the first caller. Let me quickly take you through the front pages. I think I did reference that it's on the front page of the Daily Telegraph. Britain not ready to defend invasion, referencing in part the Chinese aspect. It is the full front page of The Guardian. Alarm as MI5 names China spy suspects targeting MPs. And it is the main story on the front page of The Times. MI5 alert over Chinese spies. The Daily Mail has a very powerful and desperately sad story concerning a public school teacher who is accused of making a joke on a school trip. He's at Marlborough College. It is reported that one of Prince William's or Prince George could be going to Marlborough, so they want it to be. It is reported. They don't want any negative headlines. There was a sporting trip to Singapore, and again, it is reported that the teacher in question, John Wright, 54-year-old physics teacher, said, and very ill-advised, and I'm not supporting it for a moment, he made a gag about no gum, no gaze about a trip to Singapore, fearing an investigation. It is reported he decided to take his life. Desperately sad story all round. Again, I am not supporting those comments, but a man taking his life is very, very, of course, severe in those circumstances. Quickly to the LBC app. Well, that's got the latest developments in America. My goodness me, isn't it? President Trump, in journalistic terms, just keeps on giving, doesn't he? This is now the idea that US lawmakers could now force Donald Trump to release the Epstein files, although he is reportedly, again, I use that word, saying that he might be doing that. Let's quickly go to the give one other website. Here we go. HuffPost talking about Starmer's allies pledging support. But this is an extraordinary way to govern the country. The more and more you go on about, I'm leading the country, I'm staying where I am, it just adds to the conversation, doesn't it, and the possible doubt. We'll have more on that later. Right, let's get to your calls. Hughes in Battersea. Build, baby, build or not, would you say? This is the embassy. Good morning.
Nick, good morning.
Morning,
good to
sir.
Speak with you and thank you again for all the work you did last
not
week
at all.
On behalf of our veterans.
Let's thank the blokes and women who go out and do that. It's nothing to do with what I'm sitting in a warm studio. I'm very lucky. On you go, Hugh.
Well, thank you. Well, I've relocated, so I'm no longer Hugh from Battersea.
Ah.
I'm Hugh from Fuerteventura.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Beijing. I was nervous for a moment there. Have you honestly left the country?
I've relocated. I carry on running my business WeSer from here because it's UK time, but I'm just much happier here, Nick. I'm much happier.
Well, we're going to be talking about this, so I don't often allow this to happen. You're going to cover two subjects, so we'll come back to China in a moment. People, and it's not just millionaires and billionaires like you, record number of people now leaving this country, a lot of young people. Might I ask you, I know I'm not being cheeky, you're not on the young side, but why did you choose to leave?
Because I just feel that in the UK at the moment, I think there's a lack of leadership, firstly. I love Great Britain. I wouldn't live I love Britain. But just, I'm happier here. You know, the roads aren't all covered in holes. I could get a bottle of red wine for €7 and not
£20 or £30,
yeah. and the sun will be out and, yeah, it's, it, it's, it, okay. I just, for me personally, and I'm lucky, Nick, you know, my daughters have now get up before 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
that was when we first spoke, wasn't it? But during COVID,
indeed,
or
indeed,
you were very funny. Okay, I've got to move on, but I want a word about China. Come on. Oh, sorry, rather the embassy, Hugh.
Yeah, Nick, look, I think what I want to say is, you know, this country or our country has to prepare for war, okay? But I want to just make something clear to the wider public. Every year, 20,000 military personnel, give or take, leave the armed forces. They have to stay on what's called the live list. 10 years. So you can be called back to serve for up to 10 years. That means that we have 200,000 veterans who are already trained who can be called up.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is the MOD doesn't know where they are.
Why not?
The problem.
Why not?
Because when people are leaving military service now and being sent a tent to live in, and they're sort of, why? What's the point? Why should I? And this actually links in very nicely to what you're doing last week. The sooner we start looking after our veterans and their families, the sooner young people will start joining the armed forces again.
Hugh, enjoy the Spanish sunshine. We will talk again. If you're not sure what Hugh was talking about last week, I was privileged to help an Afghan veteran, military veteran, served in Afghan, Jim, who came back from military, had a bit of a tough time, and he was living in a horse box and sleeping in the back of a car, and he phoned this supposed Op Fortitude, which is meant to get homeless veterans a bed almost instantly. It didn't. It failed. They offered him a place and his dog, but not his partner. Anyway, I'm pleased to say the Ministry of Defence, so thanks to them, we have now got Jim in suitable accommodation, and in fact, there's some work coming his way as well, so he's in a better place. Hugh, thanks for reminding the listeners about that. 7:25. Let's cross the Atlantic, and there is no shortage of headlines. A president telling a reporter, quiet piggy. The Saudi leader offering a $1 trillion deal to the US. Well, we'll see that all through the eyes of my global colleague John Sopel in just a moment. But let's go to this incident. We got a Friday on board Air Force One when President Trump took a question from Bloomberg's White House correspondent, Catherine Lucy. It's really difficult to listen. We maybe play that one last time. She, the journalist, is asking a question about the Epstein files. I appreciate if you're in the car or the children in the back of the car or whatever, it's going to be difficult, but you will hear him call her Piggy. Let's do it one more time. Quiet Piggy. Why it's taken from Friday to emerge, I don't know. Last night, during a visit to the White House by Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, President Trump clashed again with the journalists, this time over the release of the Epstein files. It came from ABC News reporter Mary Bruce.
President, why wait for Congress to release the Epstein files? Why not just do it now?
Well, it's not the question that I mind. It's your attitude. You're a terrible person and a terrible reporter. As far as the Epstein files is, I have nothing to do with Jeffrey Epstein. I threw him out of my club many years ago because I thought he was a sick pervert. But I guess I turned out to be right.
Credit to Mary Bruce. She found herself in the line of fire again. Here's another exchange, this time over the killing of journalist Jamal Khashoggi back in 2018.
Your Royal Highness, the U.S. intelligence concluded that you orchestrated the brutal murder of a journalist. 9/11 families are furious that you are here in the Oval Office. Why should Americans trust you? And the same to you, Mr. President.
Now, who are you with?
I'm with ABC News, sir.
You're with who?
ABC News, sir.
Fake news. ABC fake news. One of the worst in the business. But I'll answer your question.
Thank you.
As far as this gentleman is concerned, he's done a phenomenal job. You're mentioning somebody that was extremely controversial. A lot of people didn't like that gentleman that you're talking about. Whether you like him or didn't like him, things happen. But he knew nothing about it, and we can leave it at that. You don't have to embarrass our guest by asking a question like that.
Few people a better place to turn to now than John Sopel, who is one of my global radio colleagues. He, of course, is long-serving North America editor of the BBC. He's co-presenter of the global podcast The News Agents and The News Agents USA. John, where do you want to start? Morning, Gov.
Oh, Nick, honestly, I don't know where to start. I mean, okay, I'm going to start with Donald Trump's attitude towards women reporters, which has always been very odd. I mean, I remember the first presidential debate that Donald Trump took part in before the 2016 election, and there was a woman called Megyn Kelly who kind of asked him, was one of the presenters who asked him a question on a stage, and he went mad at her. And so it has gone on. There is a sort of disrespect that takes place. Anyway, that's the women's side of it.
Yep.
I think the Khashoggi side of it is fascinating because you know, those are real questions. It was an American intelligence report that concluded that he must have known he either ordered the arrest or the murder of Khashoggi, and it got out of hand. So that is the settled view of the American state, that Donald Trump knew about it. And of course, there is business at stake here. And what does Donald Trump do when there's business at stake? He wants to do a deal. And so he was busy, just happy to say, oh, you know, MBS had nothing to do with it. And the guy that got butchered in Istanbul, well, he wasn't a very popular man either. So extraordinary. And I think it shows actually Donald Trump under a bit of pressure right now over the whole question of Epstein.
Where's he going to go with the Epstein files, John?
My guess is he will sign it. And my other guess, so that will lead to the release of these documents. But I just have a little side bet that the Department of Justice will find something that it doesn't quite like or that needs further investigation. And then they will say, oh, look, we've got a live investigation now. We'd love to release these papers, but we can't just now. And so I think that is something that could easily play out, that you suddenly see Donald Trump agreeing. I think if Donald Trump didn't release, and the reporter was absolutely correct, it didn't take a vote of Congress to release the Epstein files. It was in Trump's gift, and he had been in favour of it prior to the election. He comes into power, his Attorney General Pam Bondi says to him something or other, and suddenly Donald Trump is not in favour. Donald Trump had tried to organise everyone to vote against releasing these files, and it was a unanimous vote in the Senate, and only one person voted against it in the House of Representatives. So I think the pressure is on Trump, and he's played it badly. And I think it's shown something else, Nick, which I think is quite significant. Donald Trump has done whatever he has wanted to since he came to power, and no one has dared stand in his way. Last night, Congress said, no, I'm sorry, I know you don't want these released, we're going to vote to release them. And I think that was a sort of act of defiance of his base and the MAGA kind of movement to say, you're on the wrong side on this one.
Forensic analysis from John Sopel. John, thank you. Co-presenter, there'll be more, I'm sure, on the newsagents and the newsagents USA, those global podcasts. John Sopel, thank you for that. Another John in Enfield, we'll talk to you, excuse me, about your decision on the Chinese embassy. I want to get all more calls on that after the news. And also, away the lads!
Amazing! Amazing! We deserve this so much! Finally! It's finally our time!
I wasn't even born the last time that we went to a World Cup. So, you ask me how it feels, unbelievable.
I believe it's nearly 30 years, that gentleman, that man, obviously in celebration of it. Well done, Scotland. We'll celebrate that. It is 7:31. You're listening to Breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari, here on LBC. Let's get the headlines. Dominic Ellis.
A highly critical report found the UK is underprepared for an armed attack. The Defence Select Committee's warned efforts are moving at a glacial pace. Figures show the rate of inflation fell slightly to 3.6% last month after standing at 3.8% in September. It offers some relief to households and a boost for the government ahead of next week's budget. And US politicians have paved the way for Donald Trump to publish more files into the investigation of Jeffrey Epstein. The US Congress voted to force officials to release documents into the late sex offender. LBC weather dry, cold and sunny for many. Some wintry showers for the north of Scotland. A high of 6 degrees.
On the latest episode of The Newsagents,
Shabana Mahmood used some very direct language in the House of Commons. What does it tell us about the way that Labour wants to fight the threat from the far right?
Get the latest episode of The Newsagents with Emily Maitlis, John Sopel and Lewis Goodall. Listen or watch on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app.
Things are really heating up in the country's smallest house.
Dad!
Squealed Mia Mouse.
We could save around £100 by setting the boiler flow temperature to 60 degrees.
And turning radiators down in rooms we don't use.
Interrupted Mo.
Yes, Mo.
Turn them down.
Not off, said Mia.
Plus finding and blocking drafts,
said Mo.
Should save enough to increase our allowance.
A little saves a lot. You could save around £100 a year off your energy bills with 3 tips at gov.uk/cleanenergy.
At Amazon, over 50% of deliveries now come with less packaging or with no added packaging at all. It's a difference you'll notice on your doorstep, where you chat with friends, where your neighbour's daughter practices guitar, and where we deliver your new noise-cancelling headphones in the manufacturer's packaging. Ah, much better. Reduced packaging from Amazon. We're delivering change where it matters, on your doorstep, based on 2024 UK and EU Amazon packaging data.
Welcome on board this LNER service from London King's Cross to Edinburgh. My name's Paul, your train manager today, and hang on, is that a Scrabble tournament in coach here? Yes, G with an X is a word. Right, we're cruising at 125 miles per hour, same speed this lad next to me is typing. Someone's on a roll. The cafe bar's in coach G if you fancy a brew, or if you're mid-box set binge, just order through the QR code at your seat. We'll deliver it. So sit back and enjoy your journey. With LNER, it's freedom all the way.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
7:34, John, you will give me your verdict. To build or not to build, that is the question as regards the so-called super embassy. Just to remind you, the background purchased, or the site purchased in 2018, £255 million. It would be their biggest embassy in Europe. It would be close to the Tower of London, putting it very close to the city as well. Cost about £750 million, and it's still on the drawing board. You'll have your view on that. Christian Mayer is editor-in-chief at City AM. I've talked about some punchy French pages, and they've got one today. Simply the word departures. What's behind your splash, your lead story? Christian, good morning.
Good morning, Nick. The Office for National Statistics has been busy revising figures that it had been collecting over the past 18 months or so. Previously, they were under the impression that about 77,000 Brits left the UK in 2024. Now, we had had on top of that a lot of anecdote, a lot of surveys, a lot of sentiment suggesting that quite a large number of people, including quite a large number of younger, higher earning people, not just the non-doms, were leaving this country. The revised figures show that, in fact, it wasn't 77,000, it was just under 260,000. And that is quite a considerable upgrade. If you're interested in the sort of mechanics of this data analysis, it's because they have changed the way they measure this and looked at all sorts of additional data sources. It used to just be they basically stand at the airport with a clipboard and count people, believe it or not. But they have somewhat upgraded their methods. So 257,000 Brits left the UK in 2024. Now, we don't yet have granular detail on each of the reasons, motivations and destinations. But I think it's fair to say that that's quite a punchy number. Now, it might be, by the way, that it stands at about that figure every year in previous years, but we've not been counting properly either. Or it could be that there was a spike. And we know that there was a big effort to clamp down on the super rich. The non-dom status was changed. We know that around 10 to 15,000 very, very high worth individuals left. And often you can see that because they changed their registration of their family office or their business. But I'm more interested in people who are perhaps early in their career in professional services. Maybe they're digital nomads, maybe they're entrepreneurs, and they're thinking that maybe this isn't the country for them right now. And we do see a lot of that in survey data and sort of sentiment analysis. So I think those figures are quite concerning.
Another figure that came in, how concerned should we be about inflation? What was the figure? And give us the background and interpret it, if you would.
Well, inflation, which obviously records the rate at which prices increase, was 3.8% in September. The Bank of England target it to be at 2%. That's the rate they consider it to be stable. It's obviously been very high for a considerable period of time. It fell in October to 3.6%. That is the first fall since May, and it does come in line with Bank of England forecasts, although there was an economic consensus that it might fall a little bit more than that. The main driver for that, in fact, pretty much the only driver for this, is a big fall in energy prices. Energy and electricity prices have come down. If you strip that element out, it basically remains about the same, and it's been about the same for most of this year. In contrast, the Eurozone inflation rate's been around 2% at the beginning of this year, so we do have some difficulties. This does not mean that prices are falling. On the contrary, it means that the rate at which they are increasing has slipped a little. So prices are still increasing by 3.6%, well above the 2% target. The Chancellor has welcomed this news. They're making a very big play about the cost of living, of course, ahead of the budget, which is now precisely 1 week from today. So they will take this as good news backdrop, might indicate that the Bank of England could cut rates again in its final meeting of this year next month. But there's a big question mark over that. There's a question mark over what's going to be in the budget. Most economists expect that the budget is going to squeeze people one way or another, which in turn probably will dampen activity and demand, which could lead to a further fall in inflation. So you can interpret that as either good news or slightly alarming news, depending on your perspective.
Give us the latest outage details, Christian.
Well, there's a company called Cloudflare, which is one of the world's biggest sort of online infrastructure companies. They provide an enormous amount of infrastructure, technology, support and security to most, well, not quite most, but many of the world's most used websites, including ChatGPT, social media site X, Spotify, etc., all of which went down yesterday morning. And people were left quite frustrated by this. Some of this was quite serious, Amazon Web Services. Other people just had to make do without X for a while. It took some hours for service to be restored. Now, if you are really into this, I would commend a blog on the Cloudflare website that explains exactly what happened. Now, one of the reasons they're being so transparent is because they're at pains to stress this was not cyber attack, this was not a security breach, this was not any kind of digital assault. This was basically somebody ticked the wrong box somewhere and something happened that shouldn't have happened. That's about the extent of my technical analysis of the situation. Services were gradually resumed and restored over the course of yesterday, and there's a very comprehensive explanation as to quite what went wrong on the Cloudflare website.
Christian May, Editor-in-Chief at City AM, talk around the same time tomorrow. Thank you. 7:40. John in Enfield, to build or not to build that super embassy?
Hello, Nick. A definite no. Yeah. One thing you've got to bear in mind, we've taken in 300,000 Hong Kongese from a so-called persecuted place to bring them over here. Mm. How the hell are they going to feel, right, with this massive embassy, with the data centre? They're going to absolutely feel betrayed.
Well, I think it's a very good point you make, John, but I think irrespective of whether you come here from Hong Kong or wherever you've come from, you don't want a malevolent, what could be a malevolent force having that a degree of access, surely.
Exactly. And you got to remember, the Chinese, what's his name? I'm just reading it now. The Foreign Minister,
President
Wang
Xi,
told the European Union it's important that Russia wins the war against Ukraine. China is financing the Putin's war against Ukraine. And the whole of our idea of that is to bring down Europe. Yeah? So how the hell can we entertain anything to do with China?
A defence minister is joining us later in the hour. We'll put those questions to him. John, thank you for that. 7:41. Let's get some of the social media coming in on this. This is a clever one. Now, think this through. This is Matthew King. Instead of the Royal Mint, why not give the Chinese embassy the Royal Lodge? They already have a trade desk there. I won't join up the dots, but Mr. King, that is very clever. William in Cape Town, having China's embassy to the tower could be very convenient for the ease of incarcerating the spies. Scott in West Hampstead, I'm at a complete loss to understand why the Chinese embassy can't remain at its present address, why they need a bigger embassy. It can only be for reasons of increased espionage. It's not just MI5 that's warned about the risks. MI6 have warned too. And on the subject of the Donald Trump story, the conversation that we've had, Paul Voller says, reporters used to have some reporter integrity. The ABC reporter could have jeopardised a major business deal for the US. Trump quite rightly shut her down so as not to embarrass the wealthy friend of America. You've got Trump derangement syndrome, Nick. I don't think I have. I have supported a lot of what President Trump has done, but allowing that it's American-owned authorities that investigated the murder of Khashoggi, the journalist, a question from a fellow journalist is absolutely right. Unless, Mr. Voller, you're suggesting that if there's money on the table, you just ignore murder. Right? Not just a rather unfortunate incident or something like that. You ignore murder. Think about it, Mr. Voller. Come back to our conversation concerning the Chinese embassy. But great Scott! They've only gone and done it. Congratulations after nearly 30 years of waiting. Alan Zazinsky, LBC's Scotland correspondent, joins us now with, of course, a clear head. Alan, good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Yes, certainly so. Still feels like a dream, though, I must say. Actually talking on the radio about Scotland making it to a World Cup. Cannot believe it. And not only making it to a World Cup, making it in style. An overhead kick to seal it and a halfway line goal. Let's remind ourselves of the commentary one more time.
It's going to shoot.
Oh, so good. I think I have listened to that at least 2,000 times since midnight, Nick.
It'll be your ringtone soon, Alan, I would imagine.
It will. It certainly will be. It certainly will be. It's 27 years of my life I've waited for that moment, Nick. I was 2 months old the last time Scotland were at a World Cup. It has finally happened for me. I can go back to all the folk in the London office that give me stick over the years. Finally, we are there. So many tournaments we've had to watch from the couch at home. So many almost moments over the year. Finally, the heartache, my heartache, Nick, is over. And this is what it meant to fans I spoke to in the pub last night.
That was unreal. I cannot believe that happened. It's the best thing I've ever seen in my life.
And so yourself, are you going to try and get yourself out to America?
I'm going to try my best. I might have to save my pennies up. I think I might prefer Canada or Mexico, but I'm going to try my best to get there no matter what. Wedding's cancelled. Everything's cancelled.
Absolutely brilliant now. It wasn't going well, but all of a sudden, it came up Trump.
And as I say, Nick, watching it in the Tartan Army pub, roof was almost blowing off when the last goals went in. When the winners went in, there were drinks flying, there were people screaming, there were, unfortunately, a few gentlemen in their kilts that were upside down. Just such a moment for us all to witness. And I think certainly from the footage I'm seeing this morning, many scenes like it right across the country.
And just lastly, presumably an added bit of glee, because is Schmeichel still with Celtic? The Danish goalkeeper, Kasper Schmeichel.
Yes, he is indeed. He is Celtic's number one.
And where was he standing for the last goal? Was he on the halfway line or something?
I don't know what he was looking at. He was gazing into the stands, but we'll take it, Nick.
Well done. Congratulations. So thrilled for you and all, of course, all of Scotland and all the Scottish fans. Such great news. Alan Zazinski, LBC's jubilant Scotland correspondent. All right, coming up after the news, more on that headline that we're not ready to defend ourselves. Chair of the Defence Select Committee, Tan Dacey.
We may be falling well short of our NATO obligations to maintain and develop individual and collective capacity to resist armed attack.
Well, we'll hear from a Defence Minister on that after this. 7:45, LBC News headlines. Dominic Ellis.
A highly critical report is warning that the UK is not prepared to defend itself from a military attack. New figures show the rate of inflation slowed slightly to 3.6% last month, and US politicians have voted to force officials to release more files into the late sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. LBC weather dry, cold and sunny for many. Some wintry showers for northern Scotland, a high of 6 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Dave Goff. There are long delays on the M1 southbound. It's partly blocked because of an investigation between Junction 10 for Luton Airport and Junction 9 for Redbourne. They're accusing Clapham. The South Circular Poinders Road westbound is blocked because of an accident between Clarence Avenue and Roddenhurst Road. There are delays in South Kensington on the A4 Cromwell Road going into town. It's partly blocked near Sainsbury's because of an accident. They're accused in Northolt on the A40 going into town. It stays partly blocked because of an accident just after the Target roundabout. There are queues in Tottenham on the A10 High Road. It's partly blocked both ways at St Loy's Road because of an accident. On the trains, Great Western Railway have delays of up to 15 minutes and cancellations eastbound from Reading to Paddington. That's because of problems with the signals.
This is LBC.
It's the last chance to get yourself a ticket for tonight's Lotto draw.
It could be you.
Lotto from the National Lottery. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. LBC.
So, what's on your to-do list today? Why don't you check if you're eligible for pension credit? It tops up your pension income and also opens up help with heating bills, council tax, and more. Search pension credit on gov.uk or call 0800 991234. There's nothing to lose. Check today. Pension credit. Credit where credit's due. Eligibility criteria apply.
Welcome on board this LNER service from London King's Cross to Edinburgh. My name's Paul, your train manager today, and hang on, is that a Scrabble tournament in Corch here? Yes, G with an X is a word. Right, we're cruising at 125 miles per hour, same speed this lad next to me is typing. Someone's on a roll. The cafe bars in Corch G if you fancy a brew, or if you're mid-box set binge, just order through the QR code at your seat. We'll deliver it. So sit back and enjoy your journey. With LNER, it's freedom all the way.
You know how fans shout at football matches?
Oh, wake up!
That's because sound is the most effective way to tell the players they're rubbish. Works in advertising too. Because when you amplify your advertising using radio, your campaign is 49% more likely to get noticed. See radio differently at radiocentre.org.
For people living with dementia, Christmas can be confusing, overwhelming, heartbreaking. Families are often left to cope alone. But you can help a family reimagine Christmas. Donate to Alzheimer's Society and you can help provide practical support, expert advice and crucial companionship this Christmas. It will take a society to beat dementia and we can't do it without you. Search Alzheimer's Society and donate today.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
Bill's in Hounslow. Bill, to build or not to build, Bill, the Chinese embassy. Well, good morning.
Morning, Nick. How are you doing, all right?
Yeah, good, sir. Tell me your view.
Nick, it's unbelievable that it's even being considered. We're constantly being told that China is a potential enemy.
Yep.
Now, what country in the world would allow a potential enemy to build a fortress in their capital city?
Well, possibly the United Kingdom. What would you say to those involved in the decision-making, Bill?
I'll tell them now. Seriously, reconsider this. There shouldn't be any consideration to it, Nick. None at all. It's an absolute disgrace. We're just being told now by that defence bloke that we ain't got the army to defend it. I mean, why are we telling our enemies that we can't defend ourselves? Why is this on the news? It baffles me, Nick.
Put the phone down and listen to a Minister for Defence, Readiness and Industry who's joining me on the line now. Bill, thank you for your input. Pleased to welcome Labour MP and that Minister, Luke Pollard, to the conversation. And we're going to talk about some of those aspects, but I know you're keen to talk about what you and your colleagues are working on concerning war fighting readiness and firepower with new sites and new munitions. Let's get into that first, because that's why you've been gracious enough to give us your time. What is it that you're announcing today, Minister? Good morning.
Morning, Nick. Today we're announcing that we've identified 13 sites across the United Kingdom for new munitions factories. That's creating the explosives that will go in our artillery and missile systems, the stuff that goes bang. There's a shortage of energetics, that explosives in the UK and across the NATO alliance. And we've committed to build at least six of those factories using UK government money this Parliament. We hope that the private sector will step in to help build even more on top of that. And it's precisely because of measures like this that we're helping to restock our stockpiles, because we've given much of our equipment to our friends in Ukraine. We need to learn the lessons from that war, and that means having a bigger magazine, a bigger stockpile to deter Russian aggression. And the steps we're taking today to build at least six of those new factories on those 13 sites will create around 1,000 jobs, proving that defence is an engine for growth, but it will also give the men and women in our fighting forces the missiles, the artillery shells and other systems that will help deter aggression, but importantly be able to defeat it if necessary.
Well, obviously then, the next question is, well done and good news, and this is obviously great for the defence of the nation and jobs, but when we wake up to headlines that Britain's not ready to defend itself against an invasion following a year-long inquiry and a defence committee chaired by one of your Labour colleagues, Tan Dacey, how do you respond, Minister?
Well, I wouldn't precisely use the same language as he has, but it broadly chimes with the defence review that we published a few months ago that set out that we live in a new era of threat. We're seeing our adversaries increasingly work together and invest in their militaries. That's why we are investing more in our defence industries, more in our armed forces, £5 billion extra in our defence budget this year, every single year for the next decade ahead, increasing defence spending. But we do need to do more and we do need to go faster. So when the Defence Select Committee sets out that we need to do more, I agree with them. That's precisely why not only are we identifying these 13 sites today, but we're also opening this week two new drone factories in the UK. A year ago, we signed an agreement with Germany that committed to us to open a new joint, develop a new joint factory with a German business. A year on, we're opening it. That's the type of pace that we need to see to restock our supplies and to give our fighting forces the brand new equipment they need to deter Russian aggression in particular.
While not doubting your commitment for a moment, Minister, you mentioned pace. The report suggests that the pace is rather glacial. It's nothing like quick enough. I agree, you don't build factories overnight, but can you put your hand on heart and say you think you're moving, you and your colleagues are moving as quickly as you possibly can? In all honesty, you would tell me that.
Yes, we are. But I'm an impatient so-and-so, Nick. You've had me on your show enough times. I want everything delivered faster. And it's precisely because of that pace that we need to have here that we're reforming defence as fast as we can. We've already seen big changes in the way that defence is run. We're ending that hollowing out and underfunding of our armed forces that we've seen over the past decade or so. And that's precisely why we've been able to give our fighting forces the biggest pay rise in 20 years. It's precisely why our defence review is the first defence review since the 1980s that increases the size of the British Army and invests in new capabilities such as our Dragonfire directed energy weapon system that shoots down drones and missiles using directed energy, not expensive missiles. We're investing in that new technology precisely because we can see more threats coming to the UK, and to keep us safe, we need to invest more. But doing so, if we invest wisely, can create more jobs in Britain. And that's precisely our desire. 1,000 extra contracts signed since the election, 86% of those going to British businesses.
All right. You talk about the jobs there. What about jobs in the military? Would you want to grow the size of the army? I understand it's something over 70,000 at the moment, smallest since the Napoleonic Wars.
Yes, we do. Yes, we've set out very clearly that we...
What do you want to get it to, Minister?
So 76,000 is the figure that we've set out in our defence review. To do that, we have to stop the retention and recruitment crisis that we inherited. Now, we've given our forces that big pay rise. We've announced that we're fixing defence housing because it's not acceptable that the men and women who serve live in houses with damp mould and leaky roofs. We've set out how we'll be modernising 9 in 10 military housing. And we're also setting out how we are addressing some of the toxic cultures that exist in pockets of our armed forces that can put people off from joining and staying in our forces. Right. So across the entire field of military personnel, not just those in the British Army, we're seeing investment going in. It's an exciting time to be in the armed forces with the pace of change, the new technologies that we're bringing on, but their role needs to be valued more by society. A key part of our policy is getting more of our British public backing our armed forces, not just at Remembrance once a year, but every single day of the year, understanding the vital role that they play in keeping all of us safe. It's that whole of society effort that's needed, not just to rearm and restock, but to give our fighting forces the very best support they can at this time.
All right, so if we're talking about defending ourselves against possibly hostile states, hostile powers, you'll be aware that MPs and peers have been warned by MI5 of, and I quote, a covert and calculated attempt by the Chinese and their Chinese spies. With all that background going on, surely we're not going to allow this super embassy, as it's called, to be built close to the Tower of London, are we, Minister?
Well, that decision on the embassy currently sits with ministers as a part of a quasi-judicial planning process. That means it's a legal process they're following. We've been clear we need a bit more time to make that decision due to the complexities of the national security implications. The government said the decision will be made by the 10th of December on that. But it's certainly true that China poses challenges and threats to our national security, but it also presents opportunities for in the economic space as well. So how we address this matters, and that complexity is why we have to be thoughtful and careful about how we approach these challenges, as well as ensuring that we're not missing out on job opportunities, because we know that China is integrated within our economy. Every single person listening to this will have Chinese technology somewhere at home, but we need to be taking more steps to protect ourselves, and that's why MI5 have taken the unusual step in publishing information for parliamentarians and their staff, but I think it also applies to British businesses and the general public as well, about how we can be more aware of the threats online so we can better protect ourselves.
Lastly on this, you're right, I think everybody has a bit of Chinese kit somewhere either on them or in their homes, but we learned that also the Chinese cars used by the MOD are now going to have spy alerts put on the dashboard. This is 745 electric vehicles, 1,414 hybrids, many of them MGs from China. Can you assure us that you will no longer lease cars that are made in China?
So we're looking carefully at what the options are with Chinese technology.
Why is it even a conversation, Minister? I don't understand. You've leased some that are obviously concerned. The MOD have put alerts on the dashboards. We also learned that apparently in Norway now, Chinese buses have a kill switch that can be operated from China. Can you assure my listeners we will not lease any more Chinese vehicles?
So we're looking into Chinese vehicles within our fleet. We have a fleet of tens of thousands of vehicles in the Ministry of Defence, and those vehicles represent a very small number. But whether you're driving a Chinese car or a non-Chinese car, what we've asked our people to do is not plug Ministry of Defence technology into their vehicle, not to have conversations at a secret classification in any vehicle, due to the increasing threats of surveillance that exist in every single vehicle, to only have those secret conversations in secure locations. That's a prudent and reasonable thing for anyone concerned about
security. So the cars are listening. The cars are listening to us, are they?
Well, I mean, we can see the kind of like network cars that are available on the market from all vehicle manufacturers not only have, in some cases, dozens of cameras to enable and to help drive, but also microphones inside the cars as well. That's why we've got to be careful about
this. So why on earth would we even consider leasing any more, Minister? It doesn't make sense to me. I'm missing something here. Surely the order should come from you or your colleague or whoever this afternoon. No more Chinese leased vehicles until you hear back from us. Stop now.
Yeah, and that's precisely what we're investigating at the moment, Nick.
Minister? What's to investigate? We're apparently in Oslo. I've now found it's in Oslo. Buses have a kill switch. God knows what these cars have with our brave men and women driving around from the MOD. Just stop the leasing now.
It's precisely what we're investigating, because the important piece here, Nick, it's not just Chinese cars. And this is why when we talk about the pervasiveness of Chinese technologies and the vulnerability that creates, okay, those Chinese technologies exist in car manufacturers, cars manufactured not just in China, but across the world as well. That's why we're looking at what measures can prudently be taken. And in the immediate term, we're asking people not to have classified conversations. I think that's pretty reasonable to say don't have that in a vehicle, have it in a secure location where we can be assured of the secrecy of those conversations, but we're investigating what it is. But there's Chinese technology everywhere.
All right.
And because it is everywhere, we have to take more prudent steps across our entire economy. That's what we're looking at doing with our colleagues across government to make sure that we can keep ourselves safe.
All right. Grateful for your time today. Boosting the UK firepower, at least a thousand new jobs, new sites earmarked, explained by Minister for Defence Readiness and Industry, Luke Pollard. Minister, thank you for your time. It's 8 o'clock. LBC News headlines are next.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom, a highly critical report has warned the UK is over-reliant on the US for its defence and underprepared for an armed attack. The Defence Select Committee says the government must urgently prioritise homeland defence. It comes as ministers are announcing 13 sites for new arms factories. The Defence Minister, Luke Pollard, has just told Nick the government is aware they have to pick up the pace.
We're seeing our adversaries increasingly work together and invest in their militaries. That's why we are investing more in our defence industries, more in our armed forces, £5 billion extra in our defence budget this year, every single year for the next decade ahead, increasing defence spending. But we do need to do more, and we do need to go faster. So when the Defence Select Committee sets out that we need to do more, I agree with them.
The Defence Minister also admitted to LBC that further steps must be taken to protect against political interference by foreign powers. It's after MI5 issued an alert to politicians telling them they face a significant risk of espionage from the Chinese state. The security service says it's identified two profiles on the networking site LinkedIn being used to recruit individuals. Beijing has dismissed the claims. The rate of inflation has slowed slightly last month. It eased to 3.6% in the year to October after standing at 3.8% in September. It's the last set of figures before next week's budget. Chancellor Rachel Reeves has welcomed the data but says she's determined to do more to bring prices down. Victims of Jeffrey Epstein have welcomed a move to try and force the release of more files into the late sex offender. The US Congress has voted in favour of officials releasing documents into Epstein. President Trump says he'll sign the bill into law as soon as he receives it. Researchers are warning ultra-processed foods are a leading cause of what they are calling a pandemic of chronic diseases. Writing in the Lancet Medical Journal, more than 40 experts have accused food companies of putting profit above all else. And for the first time since 1998, Scotland have secured their place in the Men's World Cup. Stoppage time goals gave them a 4-2 win over Denmark last night. These fans couldn't quite believe it.
Subliminal! We know how to do the hard way! Superb!
Absolutely!
incredible. I can't speak. We never do this. But we've done it!
I was 2 years old the last time Scotland were at a World Cup. I turned 30 last month, but this is absolutely unbelievable, man.
In the city, the FTSE 100 just reopened at 95.52. It closed down 123 yesterday. The pound buys $1.31 and €1.13. LBC weather, dry, cold and sunny for many today. Some wintry showers for the north of Scotland with a high of 6 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
Hey Sainsbury's, I'm planning an extra special roast for the family. Got any deals?
Why not try our Taste the Difference beef roasting joint? Only £9.50 per kilo with Nectar. That's better than half price. It's a meal that'll definitely put a smile on their faces.
And a price that puts one on mine.
Dreaming of the perfect winter roast? Ask Sainsbury's. Sainsbury's, good food for all of us.
18 plus, Nectar required. Available in store and online, excluding locals. Delivery fees may apply, subject to availability. T's and C's apply.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning, 4 minutes after eight on Wednesday, November the 19th. Coming up in this hour, I'm not a celebrity. I don't even need to be a millionaire or a billionaire. I just happen to be a Brit. And
I'm leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when I'll be back again. Oh, babe, I hate to go.
No, you don't. You're delighted. The number of Britons emigrating has hit a new high. We'll give you full details of that and ask what the impact would be on the economy. Talking of the economy, inflation figures out earlier this morning, and it's down 0.2%, which is good news. I'm not critical at all, as long as it keeps going down. Chancellor Rachel Reeves.
But I recognise that inflation, the cost of living, is still a big burden on families right across the country. And that's why in the budget next week, I'll be taking targeted action to bring down inflation to address the cost of living.
Paying the price? Lord Mandelson faces a fine after being caught urinating against a wall in Notting Hill. We'll ask what is the level of fine and, come on, gents, certainly at some time, I'm not advocating it, but we've all been caught short, haven't we? Does it really warrant a fine of that level? Plus, last week we were telling you about so-called porch pirates. Well, the parcel problems continue. 15 million people now being let down on the doorstep. Beth Foley is from Citizens Advice.
This is a sector on which so many of us depend. Many people are waiting on high-value items, even essential medical supplies, and at this time of year, many of us will be relying on our deliveries more than ever.
I'll be asking you the worst, the delivery dramas and nightmares that you've endured.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
The number of Britons emigrating has hit a new high, it was revealed yesterday. Last year, the number of citizens leaving was 257,000, far more than the 77,000 previously estimated. I mean, there's being out and there's being out with estimates, but 77,000 as opposed to 257,000. I mean, this is extraordinary. How much is the extension going to cost, darling? Oh, it's going to cost £7,000. Oh, that, okay. Sorry, it's come in at £100,000. What? The figures are just everywhere. In the previous hour of the show, in our regular look at the world of business and finance, Editor-in-Chief of CDM, Christian May, who's put this story on his front page, by the way, this morning, ran through the figures and told us why we should have such concern.
The Office for National Statistics has been busy revising figures that it had been collecting over the past 18 months or so. Previously, they were under the impression that about 77,000 Brits left the UK in 2024. Now, we had had on top of that a lot of anecdote, a lot of surveys, a lot of sentiment suggesting that quite a large number of people, including quite a large number of younger, higher earning people, not just the non-doms, were leaving this country. The revised figures show that, in fact, it wasn't 77,000, it was just under 260,000. And that is quite a considerable upgrade. If you're interested in the sort of mechanics of this data analysis, it's because they have changed the way they measure this and looked at all sorts of additional data sources. It used to just be the basic stand at the airport with a clipboard and count people, believe it or not. But they have somewhat upgraded their methods. So 257,000 Brits left the UK in 2024. Now, we don't yet have granular detail on each of the reasons, motivations and destinations. But I think it's fair to say that that's quite a punchy number. Now, it might be, by the way, that it stands at about that figure every year in previous years, but we've not been counting properly either. Or it could be that there was a spike. And we know that there was a big effort to clamp down on the super rich. The non-dom status was changed. We know that around 10 to 15,000 very, very high worth individuals left. And often you can see that because they changed their registration of their family office or their business. But I'm more interested in people who are perhaps earlier in their career in professional services. Maybe they're digital nomads, maybe they're entrepreneurs, and they're thinking that maybe this isn't the country for them right now. And we do see a lot of that in survey data and sort of sentiment analysis. So I think those figures are quite concerning.
Editor of City AM, Christian May. Well, the Financial Times has the story, and it says that they don't put numbers to it, but there has been almost an exodus of millionaires and billionaires to countries such as Dubai, and interesting to Italy, where you can effectively buy yourself a pass. Let's hopefully get more details from Emma Sinclair. Emma is a businesswoman, entrepreneur, and chief executive of the software company Enterprise Alumni, also considering leaving the country. Do we have any... I remember that there were reports towards the middle of the year that there was, like, record number of British businessmen and women successful. Did we ever put any numbers to it, Emma? Good morning.
Good morning. I think, you know, what you've shared already is probably the latest. But I listened to that, Nick, and I'm not ultra high net worth. I'm not wealthy. I'm building a business. I'm a big employer. The stake in my business is very valuable, but that's what it is at the moment. What really worries me, the kind of economic canary in the coal mine, is that the aspirational are leaving. The young people are leaving. I have a wonderful receptionist in my London office called Gemma. Her 27-year-old son has left and gone to Dubai because he thinks it's going to be easier to earn a living there, fairer tax, and it's a better place for him to bring up a young family. So, I think sometimes people have a feeling that this is people that have enormous liquidity, which in itself, of course, is a problem that they're leaving. But I think it's when the aspirational are also either leaving or talking about leaving, and we've got a major problem. I've never seen it in my lifetime, and I'm infinitely older than I look.
Well, you look very chipper this morning, I assure you. What does a chancellor, what does a government need to do, Emma?
Well, from my perspective, you've got the kind of age-old problem of Labour killing the economy at the expense of public expenses and public services, which are very, very important, but don't make any kind of return. When I run my business, I look for people who have got experience to lead on important things. And with the greatest of respect to, I'm sure, plenty of nice people, many of whom I know in the Labour government, and no one there has the slightest experience of a major P&L or anything that involves just having a real economic savvy about the realities of life. There is a business secretary who I don't know. He's the MP for a lovely place called Hove, where my grandparents live. I'm sure he's charming.
His name's Peter Kyle.
Exactly. Yeah. Sure, I'd have a lovely walk by the seaside with him. Respectfully, he's never run a business. He doesn't understand. So you've got... you've got wild indecision. People are not raising money. People are not doing deals. You've got British businesses that are not employing, don't want to employ in the UK, are looking overseas. I'm a natural optimist. I'm looking for solutions, not problems. And I've never in my life uttered anything about any thoughts to kind of not be in the United Kingdom.
How close are you to thinking to uprooting and going up sticks and going elsewhere?
The best I can say is on a Friday night when I'm sitting having dinner with my family, it's become a regular topic of conversation. It's not what I'm seeking to do. My parents are in the UK, which for me is also extremely important. It's where I've grown up and spent my, I'm speaking to you from the US where I spend a lot of time, but my family are there. But it's something that we are considering in the medium term. I can't up sticks immediately for lots of reasons. I don't want to, but I couldn't anyway. But I am... I'm extremely fearful for the next few years. We don't look great on the world stage. It's depressing. There's a lack of optimism. And I don't know, bring back the monster raving lunatic party, because right now...
Yeah, would it be Dubai you would go to?
No, I don't know. I doubt it. Probably the USA, which for me would be, and for a lot of people I know, is a place where also it's an enormous market. Our businesses do a lot of business there. You know, it's also on my mind for other reasons, including anti-Semitism. So just there's a sort of swirl and swarm of very material reasons as to why I am thinking to myself, this is not long term for me. It's not long term for my children, because, of course, I'm not just thinking about myself. And I am incredibly nervous for the British economy after next Thursday. Now, it's not just Rachel Reeves. It's an entire government and ecosystem and infrastructure full of people, but there is no one with wild experience there. If you need to run something that involves a lot of people, economics, you know, you put people in charge, you run enormous P&Ls, you've got life experience, and have not been just sort of in the main career advisors or professional services people.
All right. I'm grateful for your time. Thank you, Emma Sinclair, businesswoman, chief executive of the software company Enterprise Alumni, who explained why she thinks she may be leaving the country. We've got some figures, by the way. I think Emma said the budget's next. Of course, it's next Wednesday, just to put that right, if you need to put that in your diary. So that's next Wednesday. The UK, according to the Henley Private Wealth Migration Report, the UK will lose twice as many high net worth individuals as China. 10 times as many as Russia. And it is thought 16,500 millionaires will leave the country over 12 months. 16,500 millionaires. Just think what the tax take is that's going out the door. Then you factor in, which is in a strange way just as worrying, a lot of young people want to go. They don't see a future in this country. And they're, of course, the young people who might create their own businesses. Certainly we want their youth and their vitality, because the ones who are young enough are going to say, actually, I'm going to go off to Dubai, I'm going to go off to Italy, I'm going to go wherever I'm going to go. They're the ones who've literally got the get up and go, don't they? But they don't want to stay here. But think about it. As 16,500 millionaires, and some billionaires, I'm sure, leave the country, we have more than 30,000 unchecked people arriving in the country, some of whom, of course, go on to commit crime. So as we say farewell to the people who've built businesses in this country, we welcome Egyptian people traffickers and Ethiopian sex offenders. That is the current state of Britain. Bye-bye, millionaire. Come on in, sex offender. And you wonder why people want to leave the country. It's 8:15, LBC News Headlines. Dominic Ellis.
A government minister has admitted to Nick the UK needs to move faster to rearm after a report found it lacks a plan to defend itself from attack. Figures show the rate of inflation slowed slightly last month to 3.6%. And for the first time since 1998, Scotland have secured their place in the Men's World Cup. LBC weather, dry, cold and sunny for many, some wintry showers for the north of Scotland, a high of 6 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Dave Goff. There are long delays on the M1 southbound. It's partly blocked because of an investigation between Junction 10 for Luton Airport and Junction 9 for Redbourne. In Clapham, the South Circular Poynders Road westbound is blocked from Clarence Avenue to Roddenhurst Road because of an accident, so there are queues. There are long delays on the A40 going into town from Hillingdon Circus to the Hanger Lane Gyratory after an accident earlier. There are queues in South Kensington on the A4 Cromwell Road going into town. It's partly blocked because of an accident near the Sainsbury's. On the Tube, Walthamstow Central Station is closed because of a fire alert, so Victoria Line services aren't stopping. That's also affecting London Overground services on the Weaver Line. And also on the trains, Chiltern Railway services aren't stopping at Wembley Stadium. That's because of an investigation.
This is LBC.
If you bought a home on a holiday park in the UK, what you thought you were getting may not be what you ended up with. From unexpected site fee increases, running costs, a huge depreciation in value, many owners feel they've been missold. If you think this might be you, holidayparkadvicecentre.co.uk could help you receive the compensation you're entitled to. Text ASSIST to 78900 to find out more. That's ASSIST to 78900.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. LBC.
A Thames Link train is a place where you can just switch off. Where you have the chance to scroll your feeds as you roll past fields, or simply relax with a podcast, playlist, or power nap. Go with your flow and save with advanced tickets at thameslinkrailway.com. Terms apply.
When you go
abroad, everyone knows the best way to make yourself understood is to say everything in English, but louder.
Four beers, please, garçon!
Just like when you amplify your advertising with radio. 40 million listeners every week get the message. See radio differently at radiocentre.org.
How's the business going?
We're busier than ever, but struggling to get the staff we need.
Oh, recruiting can be such a distraction. We gave Job Centre Plus a try, and they've really helped us out.
Really?
Yeah, it was dead easy. We got our own employer advisor, Julie, who helped advertise our jobs, shortlisted candidates for us, and let us interview at the Job Centre. We've hired some great people, and Job Centre Plus really took the hassle out of it. And there was no fee.
Brilliant. That's straight on my to-do list.
Find out more at business.gov.uk/recruit. Eligibility criteria apply.
Join Andre Rieu at OVO Arena, Wembley, London on 18th of September. Book now at andrerieu.com.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
Let's get straight into your conversation. People leaving the UK, sadly, in record numbers. James is in Bracknell. James, what can you tell me? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. It's a great pleasure to speak to you. I've been a long-time fan of the show.
Thank you very much.
On commentary of the people leaving, it's not just the non-DOMs. I'm talking about my daughter. I've got three daughters. The middle one I'm talking about, she's 23. She did a psychology degree in Nottingham Trent. She's done a master's, mm-hmm. and she's going to go heading out to Australia again. She's been applying for lots of jobs, and you get the normal AI response after 1 minute, having done a three-hour application. And yes, so she's quite upset by this country now.
What does she say? What are the reasons that she gives, James?
She's just so despondent about doing all these applications, spending a long time doing them, and getting no one speaking to her, just an AI response after 10 seconds saying you're not suitable for the roles. So she looked around. She now has felt that she doesn't want to do just temporary zero-hour contract roles. She deserves a lot more. We're one of those people that we've fought tooth and nail together through private education, mm-hmm. and sacrificed a lot. That's a different story. But, so I feel she's now very sad, but I think she's going to take her asset elsewhere.
What a shame. What about, lastly, her peers, her friends of roughly the same age? Does she say, oh, you're not going to believe it, but Craig's just decided to leave, or Lucy's just decided to leave, or whoever it might be?
Well, unfortunately, yes, out of her peer group, Nick, a lot are heading overseas. So they're all in that same boat. They're all bright young people.
Yeah.
And there's only very few that I feel are going to stay here.
Just the sort of people we need to retain, not be saying farewell to.
It's very sad.
Yeah, it is. And obviously you're going to miss it, because Australia is a long way away, I can say it. James, thank you. Best wishes to your daughter. Interesting enough, I served in Australia. I worked in Australia for quite a chunk of time. It's a fantastic country, but my God, it's a long way away. In those days, when I used to get on the plane to go there or to come back, it was 27 hours that you would spend on a plane flying from London to Sydney with two refueling stops. So it was more than a day of your life. You would be sitting on you get off and stretch your legs when they refuel. And I was very lucky. I wasn't sitting at the back of the plane, so I was very fortunate. But it's a whole day just to get to and from. It's a long way. Let's pick up what you're saying on social media here about some of this. This comes in from John. These figures are exactly what people predicted after the Chancellor's disastrous budget last year. Goodness me, is it going to get worse this year? Well, I suppose we'll have to wait and see what we get next week, exactly a week to go. This comes from... you do remember to sign. This one comes in from Len in Tower Hill. I've got family who are going overseas. Some are going to try and live in Europe. They say the quality of life is so much better. They can't wait to get out of here. Well, there we are. I'm a Brit. Get me out of there. We'll have more on that later in the show. 8:22. Now, it was just last week that we were telling you about these things, or this phenomenon called porch pirates. This is the idea that they see. I mean, they seem to target certain areas. They see parcels left on the doorway, in the porch, by the doorway, and off they go. Well, now we've also got, unfortunately, parcel problems. More than a third of people experiencing problems with their most recent parcel delivery across a market that is described as broken by citizens' advice. Vix Layton is a consumer expert, joins me now. Thanks for coming on, Vix. How widespread do you think this problem is? Good morning.
Oh, it is widespread, and the trouble is it's not going to get any better, because we've become so heavily reliant on online purchasing that the couriers just can't keep up with the demand. I think if you think about how many deliveries they've got, they just don't have the time to deliver quality. If they can't find your house in a few minutes, they're just going to drive on. And they'll say you weren't in, but you've seen them out of the window. You watch the van pull up. You see them maybe look up and down the road, and then they're driving off. They just don't. I don't think they're targeted on a quality delivery. They're targeted on getting as many parcels out of their van as they possibly can. And, you know, this is going to impact everybody.
If it is broken, how is it to be fixed?
This is the question, and this is the challenge, I suppose, because ultimately it sits with the retailer. The retailer wants to get things to you as cheaply as possible, but as quickly as possible, because we've become very spoiled by Amazon. We are expecting now our delivery to be put in our hand within hours of us clicking yes in the basket, and that has created a situation that is just, it's on a knife edge. So unless we all kind of, unless retailers prioritize a good delivery and pay the extra for the companies that are coming up top in terms of the quality of delivery, that's not going to happen. Unfortunately, commercial businesses, unfortunately, I'm a cynic, they're really going to prioritise your happiness with the delivery over getting as many things out and as many sales as possible. And nothing's going to change until we as consumers stop engaging with it. And we're not going to. So we're kind of stuck in a toxic cycle.
How much of an online shopper are you, would you say, Vic?
Oh, I'm a nightmare, and I am like Henry VIII. You know, I am expecting these things to be delivered on a plush cushion to my home, into my hands now. So I'm part of the problem myself, but it is unfortunate, and you will drive yourself crazy chasing the likes of Evri and those delivery drivers. Their contract is not with you, and I think that's the problem. We'll shout and we'll go mad at the Evri driver, and they are just the final bit of the chain. They've got a long list of things to do, when actually it's the retailer themselves that you've got to take the issue with. If you're not happy with it, we've got to keep complaining and we've got to keep moaning about it. Otherwise, there will not be the appetite to get anything done. So,
a few weeks ago, we had a discussion about bizarre places where deliveries had been left, and we heard of China being thrown over. Sorry, China, as in the crockery China, not China, being thrown over, China. Being thrown over fences, parcels being left, and that dogs then rip apart. What's the worst experience that you've had, Vix?
A barbecue getting thrown over the wall, actually, the same thing, because it arrived and it was dented. So I went back to Argos and I said, the barbecue's broken. And they said, oh, nothing to do with us, nothing to do with us. And the concierge had proactively looked at the footage, and he called me down into the office to show me. And he was like, I saw it fly over the wall. And not only is it dangerous, is it a UFO? No, it's my barbecue. So fortunately, we had video footage and we were able to save the dent. And do you know what? I got it for free. So that is a consumer victory. But yeah, they love to put it in my bin as well. That's my favourite. And the bin's really deep, so you really have to get in there. And it does make you question all the life choices that bring you there when you are halfway into a bin like Winnie the Pooh, scuffling around for some Sharpies that you felt like you had to have within 24 hours. So, yeah, it is humbling.
Enjoyed speaking with you, Vic Slayton. Thank you. Be careful with those bins later today, consumer expert. Where's the worst delivery, or possibly non-delivery, that you've ever experienced? We'll take your calls on that. But we're talking about leaving the UK, sadly, in record numbers. Richard says, I currently employ around 50 staff in the waste business. I'm on the edge of folding and moving abroad due to the current condition of this country. Kevin says, I lived in Luxembourg for 21 years and I loved it. My wife and I decided to return to the UK for retirement. Biggest mistake. The country is a mess. We're looking to leave again and enjoy the rest of our life abroad. Kevin, a reporter, sending that message from Wales. Chris is in Fulham. Chris, your view, would you want to leave the UK? What's your reaction to this story? Good morning.
Hi, Nick. Good morning. Long time listener to you.
Good to have you
on
board.
We got back to UK end of August.
Part of a
plan, having been lived down in Auckland in New Zealand for the last 3 years and before then in Barcelona.
Right.
We're actually working down there, and long story, but decided to come back to the UK to sell our house because we want to sort out what happens next, retirement or whatever. And yeah, I just felt really unwelcome from a tax.
How long had you been out of the country?
6 years.
What way made you feel unwelcome?
I just feel that now the headwinds that are in the UK from a tax point of view, it doesn't feel that I'm willing to contribute to the economy and to carry on working here in the UK. It just feels that there are so many things thrown against me. It's far more attractive to be looking, to be moving overseas again. Both my kids live overseas, and
a
number of countries looks really interesting.
Where are they, might I ask, your children?
One of them is in Sydney.
Oh, yeah.
In Australia, nice been town. Out there for a few years, and the other one is in Zurich, working in finance, and has done well. They've both done well. They got on, and they just basically sorted their job, sorted their lives out.
What's the quality of life in Auckland, in New Zealand?
It's great. I mean, it's not perfect.
In what no way is it perfect. Great? I mean, does it just seem? Do the services seem to run better? What makes it superior? Would you say?
Yeah. I mean, the buses. The public transport's pretty good in Auckland. Obviously, the weather's great. I think people just are generally more it's just in general, not just polite and more sort of open to working with you. And it's just a very different culture here in the UK, which I find very difficult.
Lastly, once you've settled the house and whatever you do, where do you imagine you and your wife or partner, where do you think you'd want to retire to?
Well, we've looked very closely at Italy. I know that you come from Ticino. I used to work in Lugano.
Oh, so, oh, fantastic.
So we will probably, look at somewhere in Italy. And that's what we've been looking seriously at, and we're already making plans for that.
Happy landings as and when you go. Remember, you can listen to me in Lugano or Ticino or in Italy, wherever you end up. Thank you for that. Kevin, you're going to be the next caller. Probably do it the other side of the news when I can let you have a run at it. Just want to read this one from David. My son Richard is off to work in Madrid with his girlfriend and baby son. His company offered the opportunity to do the same job in a bullion market with current IT and communication systems. It'll be exactly the same as sitting at his desk in Broadgate. When he first thought about the procedure last April, the queue for getting the internal company paperwork sorted was 4 weeks. He was looking at New Year in Spain. All right, that's a lot of people. I think a lot of mums and dads are having to confront the fact that their children are possibly going to go overseas, as we've heard already. Kevin, you'll be the next caller on that. Also, coming up after the news, spending a penny could cost hundreds of pounds. For Lord Mandelson, speaking with LBC, Notting Hill resident Rachel Johnson says we need to draw a line under the Mandelson-Wee affair.
He has said that he'd left the house after he'd gone in at 8, he'd come out at 11, and two Ubers had cancelled on him, and he was, are we allowed to say, busting for?
Yes, I think we absolutely can.
That's enough explanation for me. I think that draws a line under it.
Well, I have to go to a lunch today with a member of the royal family, and undoubtedly wine will be taken. I know what I'm going to be doing this afternoon. I am going to go to Notting Hill, and I'm going to urinate on Rachel Johnson's wall, and let's see what happens. 8:30, breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari, here on LBC. Headlines, Dominic Ellis.
Speaking to Nick, the Defence Minister Luke Pollard has admitted that the UK needs to move faster to rearm. It's after a highly critical report found the country lacks a plan to defend itself and is moving at a glacial pace to fix the problem. The rate of inflation has fallen to its lowest level since June. Figures show it dropped to 3.6% last month after the easing of gas and electricity costs. And a bill calling for the release of every file the US officials have on Jeffrey Epstein has cleared its latest hurdle. American politicians have voted overnight in favour of making more documents public. LBC weather, dry, cold and sunny for many. Some wintry showers for the north of Scotland, a high of 6 degrees.
Tom Swarbrick on LBC.
Barnum & Mood finally has got it that not only is there a moral imperative to fix the system, but also that if these plans are voted through, and if, yes, they are agreed to by Nigel Farage and the Tories, that is fundamentally a good thing for Labour politically, because it shoots their fox dead. They have nothing to campaign about.
Tom Swarbrick, Monday to Friday from 4 p.m. Listen on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app.
So, we make our way to the Oracle and all plans go out the window. I say TK Maxx for the Christmas decorations. He says pro cook, roasting tins, essential. I say I get my essentials at Oliver Bonus. He rolls his eyes. Ah, forget the shopping, let's go bowling. Honestly, it's like retail tennis. For the late night hours, let us get it all done. Squabbling stops at the gorgeous cosy club. He's nibbling a salmon crostini. I'm sipping a hot chocolate. And we both smile because we know Christmas wouldn't happen without each other. Search the Oracle and make a day of it this Christmas.
You know, sometimes you just want to mosey. Travel your own road. Slow things down a mite meet the locals, and smell the coffee. So friends, take time to sit down with the folks at Little America and let them tailor-make your trip to Canada and the U.S. just the way you like it. For slow travel that nourishes the soul, head to littleamerica.co.uk.
Great to see you back at Specsavers. Okay, could you read out the letters on the wall for me?
Yep. D-E-A-L-S? Yeah, D-E-A-L-S. Deals.
Oh, right. Our Black Friday deals are eye-catching, but the letter chart's over here.
Oh, sorry.
At Specsavers, we've got all sorts of unmissable Black Friday deals, like up to £50 off one pair of designer glasses. Offer ends on 7th of December 2025. Conditions apply. Ask in store for details.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
8:33, I'm a Brit. Get me out of here. It doesn't have to be a millionaire or a billionaire. Kevin's in Oxford. Kevin, what are you going to tell me? Good morning.
Yes, morning, Nick. Okay, Nick, very briefly, if you're a millionaire or billionaire, it makes sense to uproot sticks and go somewhere where you're going to save some tax credits. Now, if you're just a working man, I've lived abroad, I've travelled to France, Germany, Italy extensively all the time, and if you're a working man, it's the same old, same old. I talk to people all the time I'm abroad. Mm-hmm. They're moaning about the same things, about immigration, about the boats, about the governments, the left wing, the right wing, the housing costs, the education, the NHS, the hospitals. So really, Nick, it's a fallacy. And let me tell you, if you want to do business...
I don't know if that's true of countries such as Dubai and Australia and possibly New Zealand, Kevin.
Yeah, but Nick, you don't go to Dubai. A painter and decorator doesn't go to Dubai, Nick. I'm saying no. If you've got millions, you go to Dubai. I would go to Dubai. Right. But if you're just a working man, do not think, Nick, and if you're trying to get business done in Europe, let me tell you, you can get nothing done in Italy, France and Germany. It takes double the time it does. There's no country like the UK for business, for commerce and for living, Nick.
Why are young people leaving then, Kevin?
Well, because they're on a pipe dream, Nick, like I was when I was young, when I moved abroad. And I couldn't wait. After 5 years, I ran back to the UK with my tail between my legs.
Where had you gone
to? It's a pipe dream. I was in Spain, doing business in Spain.
And it just didn't work out for you?
It's impossible to get things done. You can't start a business before 10 in the morning. Nobody gets up. It's a total different, you know, I'm up and ready at 5:30 to do business. No one answers the phone. Mm. You know, believe me, it's a pipe dream. You know, rent rates, immigration, all the problems that everyone's moaning about in this country are all over France, Italy, Germany. It's a pipe dream.
So lastly, your message to young people thinking of leaving would be what, Kevin, in a sentence, having tried it yourself as a younger man?
I would say just stay where you are, where you've got some kind of recourse and some kind of help, and just try and make a go of it in this country.
Kevin, thank you for that. Saul says, when you constantly talk down the country and listen to the doom and gloom times edited and written by Nigel Farage and the idiots on the right, then what do you expect people will feel like? Well, it was a year ago that the Chancellor was telling us the parlous state the country was in, with the Prime Minister nodding behind her, if you recall, at the budget. So it's not just the idiots on the right, as you call them, is it, Saul? It's the, some people believe, the idiots who are running the country. We'll have more on that in a moment. But I want to talk about parcel deliveries. Hannah's in Telford. Millions of people now. I think it was 13 million people, 11 million people experiencing problems. What are the problems that you've had, Hannah? Good morning.
Hi there. So I work as a vet, and we frequently get parcels delivered to work. Mm. And we often see the Amazon delivery driver come through and pop our parcels in the dog poo bin outside. Rather than actually bring... He doesn't even attempt to come into the building, just pops it in and off he goes.
Oh, goodness me. So whose job is it to wash the parcels down?
Well, fortunately, people do tend to keep their poos in poo bags.
Oh, right.
You know, and then pop it. So it's not normally an issue, but it does make you feel a bit disgusting rifling through there. So.
Oh, enjoy your breakfast here on LBC, talking about parcels in poo bags. Oh, in those poo bins. Hannah, thank you. Good luck with the veterinary work you're doing. Can you beat that? A parcel left in one of those, no other word, I'm so sorry, I know you probably haven't your breakfast. It is a poo bin, there's nothing else I can think of to call it. We'll take more calls on that. to another bodily function. And the fact that having a pee could cost, or spending a penny, I should say, could cost hundreds of pounds. Lord Mandelson is under investigation after, you recall, he was caught urinating in a London street. The former US ambassador was photographed after a late-night visit to former Chancellor George Osborne's home in Notting Hill last week. Kensington and Chelsea councils now confirmed it will investigate the issue, calling it unacceptable. We need to tell you that Lord Mandelson said, "I offer my profuse apologies. I was stood up by two Uber drivers and kept waiting in the street for half an hour and was bursting. There is no disguising my embarrassment." To Liam Cotchery, legal commentator and director of Mary Monson Solicitors Firm on Fleet Street, joining us now. Liam, we've spoken about many legal matters at quite a high level many times in the past. This is perhaps a slightly lower level, but if this does go ahead, what might his lordship be facing? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Yes, we have, and perhaps this is at the lower end, but we're talking about something that perhaps has been seen as disorderly behaviour, which it says under Section 5 of the Public Order Act, and it would have to cause alarm or distress to another person. Now, whether or not this happened, I don't know. All I know is that there were some sneaky paparazzi who took photos of him that night when he was seeing his friend George Osborne. Now, we can't necessarily judge someone on the choice of friends, especially not Peter Mandelson in these kind of circumstances. It wouldn't do him any favours, as we all know. But we are in a position where I think we need to look at the context here. We have a 75-year-old man who's had a few drinks with his friends, which is not a crime. We only have him to believe about being stood up by two Uber drivers, but we've all been there, where we've been stood up by taxis.
Yes.
And he's caught short. Now, we have nothing to disprove his analysis on this, his take on this. So perhaps we should be giving him the benefit of the doubt and deciding whether it's in the public interest to prosecute a 75-year-old man who's been caught short after a few drinks. Now, it's not an ideal situation. No one likes public urination. Ideally, it wouldn't happen. Perhaps we need more public toilets. Maybe that's the real crime here.
Yeah, and we certainly do with those. Ultimately, if it were to go to the court, presumably he's looking at a fine of some level, is he?
Well, I think we're looking at a fixed penalty notice is what the council would be considering at the moment. I doubt a criminal prosecution would take place.
And do we know what the charge is for that?
I've seen something in the region of £300. Now, you can appeal that, but if he appeals it, the risk is that it then goes into criminal proceedings to the magistrates' court, and he's risking a criminal conviction. So he has a rock and a hard place here. But when someone faces a fixed penalty notice like this, and you know the grey area of whether or not they should be taking responsibility for it, rather than facing a potential criminal conviction, they probably wouldn't go to court, especially not for public urination for Lord Mandelson himself.
Liam Cotchery, legal commentator, director of Mary Monson Solicitors Firm on Fleet Street. Thanks, Liam. Thank you for that. If you're a bloke, I understand it's slightly more complicated for a woman, but if you're a bloke, come on. I say it with no pride, but I have, of course, been caught sometimes. And what choice do you have? As Mr. Cotchery rightly says, we probably don't have enough public toilets, and particularly if it's a cold night, you don't really have a choice, do you? Any sympathy for Lord Mandelson? Or should he just pay up and shut up? £300, I'm sure he'd be delighted to write the cheque and just move on with the rest of his life, I would think. 8:40 is the time. Leaving the UK in record numbers, but why? And where are people going? Bianca's in Sunningdale. Bianca, you're on the radio. Good morning.
Hi, Nick. I've been listening quite avidly to this story, and I was reading it on the news yesterday, actually.
Oh, yes.
But whilst I was driving, I was compelled, actually, to pull over. Because it occurred to me, people are calling and giving the same reasons for wanting to leave the UK as people that are wanting to come here. You know, people are talking about, you know, sort of struggling with the financial situation here, looking for a better life, wanting to go to work in other countries, whilst at the same time, people are complaining about...
But we don't get a free hotel room when we rock up to Dubai.
Well, the thing is that not everybody that is coming here is in that situation.
No, not everyone.
Everybody that is coming into the UK to work.
But 30,000 people who've come across on dinghies are costing us £7 million a day.
And that's a problem, and that is a big problem that the government needs to get a hold of, for sure. What my point is that people will always want to move for a better life, no matter what reasons, you know, that they have. If our country in the UK is failing us, citizens, by, you know, providing, you know, an easier and better system or an easier and better life via routes that people can exploit, So people coming in here and suddenly being given accommodation, and I know it doesn't, you know, it doesn't always happen like that, but the system is designed in a way that it is so flawed and it is so easy to exploit that it is encouraging people who are not looking for work but looking for just an easy way out. Mm-hmm. Then that's the problem that we need to pick up the government, you know, to...
Well, that's right. I think that Shabana Mahmood would say what I'm trying to with my... reforms
well,
of the
they're saying it now, but the only reason they're saying it now is because it has now people think that everyone that comes into the UK is an illegal immigrant or a migrant looking for an easy way out. No, a lot of people are actually coming to do, you know, to do hard work, jobs that people in the UK don't want to do, and so are leaving to, you know, to go abroad to look for different options. And I think that we need to have a sort of a holistic discussion about sort of immigration into the UK and think about why...
What is a holistic discussion? What does it mean?
Well, holistic means...
In
terms of the discussion, why is it so easy? You know, the problem is not the people coming. It's the system that has been designed in a way that encourages... It's actually ridiculous, Nick. People are so encouraged to come here because of the system here that has just been designed to be exploitable.
Right,
and we're not pulling the government up on that. In fact, we're attacking the world.
But do you not think again? Our reference to the Home Secretary Shabana Mahmood would say, but Bianca, that's exactly what I've been doing all this week with these new proposals. Is what she would say to you, I think.
She's doing it now with these proposals. These are just proposals. We've had, you know, I've lived. I was born here, and I went abroad and came back in my teens, and this was 30 years ago, and I have seen the changes that are happening in England to, you know, just in our society, on the streets. The government is culpable. It's their fault. It's, you know, all of the governments, previous governments who are...
Yes, I think we need to say that you are right. Of course, what's happening now is this government's fault, but we do need... We can't let the Conservatives go, of course, after 14 years. Bianca, thank you. Please excuse me moving on, letting you go, to move on and get more calls. Dave's in Portsmouth. Dave, your story. This is... someone else who's... One of your children's leaving the country. Is that right?
Well, over 10 years ago, Nick, it's a real success story, and I'd like to tell you and all your listeners. My daughter said once to me after she graduated in law and worked in London, there's no point working because at the end of the month you hardly get any money left after paying all your bills. I said, well, those are people who have that. But then a few months later, she started applying to go to Australia, and she got the visa. And this is incredible because...
Is she a solicitor, is she, or a barrister? What does she do?
Well, she's a solicitor now.
Right.
But she was a law graduate at age 21 at the time.
Yeah.
And then what she did is she got this working visa where she just had 12 months, and then you have to go back. But she was liking it so much in Melbourne... She then got a teacher training course allocated.
Right.
That's another two-year visa. And then she got permanent residency, and these cost thousands of dollars, these visas, and loads of questions were asked, including me and my ex-wife. And then she got this citizenship, where you get the Australian passport, she's got a mortgage, she's got her own place, she's got the Australian bank, Australian credit card, and she's loving it. And I've been there three times, been over there. And
is there anything she misses about the UK, lastly, Dave?
Does obviously family and friends, but when she reads the news, you know, like Sky News and things like that, she thinks, "Well, thank God I'm in Australia."
Mm. Which city is she in? Did you say? Sorry. Which city is she in?
Oh, she's she started to go to Sydney. She went to Sydney initially, not knowing one person, no job, no accommodation, as a 24-year-old, and now she's in Melbourne, married.
Okay. Give her my best wishes. It's a sensational country. I'm fortunate to have spent some time down there. And funny enough, I think I was there when I was about 24 as well. Very close too. It's an amazingly welcoming country. It's an absolute blast. Well, I won't say that too long because the Ashes kicks off soon. We've got to get our priorities right, our feelings towards the Australians, which is we have to win. We have to grind them into the dirt and win the Ashes on that cricket pitch. Dave, thank you. Coming up in the next hour, we actually go back to the future, as it were, because... There's this conversation that we were having about the threat posed by China and the fact that MI5 are warning that there's a covert and calculated risk to parliamentarians. So having bought nearly 2,000 cars from China, I asked Defence Minister Luke Pollard, can he assure me that we will have no longer get leased cars on the Ministry of Defence with our officials in those cars made in China? Here's his response.
So we're looking into Chinese vehicles within our fleets. We have a fleet of tens of thousands of vehicles in the Ministry of Defence, and those vehicles represent a very small number. What we've asked our people to do is not plug Ministry of Defence technology into their vehicle.
So the cars are listening? I asked him that. Stay tuned for his response. We'll replay that again for you the next day. It's got to 8:47, LBC News Headlines, Dominic Ellis.
Defence Minister Luke Pollard has admitted to LBC the UK needs to move faster to rearm and be able to defend itself after a highly critical report. The rate of inflation has fallen to its lowest level since June, and a bill calling for the release of every file that US officials have on Jeffrey Epstein has cleared its latest hurdle. LBC weather, dry, cold and sunny for many, some wintry showers for northern Scotland, a high of 6 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Dave Goff. It's very slow on the M1 southbound after an investigation earlier between Junction 10 for Luton Airport and Junction 9 for Redbourne. There are queues on the A10 Tottenham High Road in both directions. It's partly blocked at St Lloyd's Road because of an accident. There are queues in South Kensington on the A4 Cromwell Road going into town. It's partly blocked near Sainsbury's because of an accident. There are also delays in Kensington Olympia. The A315, the Hammersmith Road, is partly blocked both ways at North End Road. That's because a bus has broken down. There are queues in Catford. South End Lane is partly blocked in both directions at the A21 Bromley Road because of an accident. And there were long delays in Chessington on the A243 Leatherhead Road in both directions to the Maldon Rushett Crossroads. That's because of the roadworks.
This is LBC.
In her framing shop, Sally's got an eye for precision, plus a computer full of customer orders and precious memories. There are locks on the doors and sensors on the windows. But what's securing it all is BT Cybersecurity, with business antivirus, cloud protection, and security awareness training. It helps stop threats before they strike, keeping sensitive business data safe. Because protecting your business takes more than just toughened glass and a steady hand. Cybersecurity is everyone's business. Search BT Business Cybersecurity.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. This is LBC.
For people living with dementia, Christmas can be confusing, overwhelming, heartbreaking. Families are often left to cope alone. But you can help a family reimagine Christmas. Donate to Alzheimer's Society and you can help provide practical support, expert advice and crucial companionship this Christmas. It will take a society to beat dementia and we can't do it without you. Search Alzheimer's Society and donate today.
Train to Cambridge and then all aboard the paddleboards. A little bit different, should be fun. All wobbly, all wet.
The wetsuit's a good look on you, Steve.
Actually, this is very relaxed.
George is up the river cam without a paddle.
Train home, that was such a laugh. I think I might even have a new hobby. Download the Thames Link Railway app to book tickets and save a third off group travel on off-peak journeys. Thames Link Railway, where every stop is a story.
How's the business going?
We're busier than ever, but struggling to get the staff we need.
Recruiting can be such a distraction. We gave Job Centre Plus a try, and they've really helped us out.
Really?
Yeah, it was dead easy. We got our own employer advisor, Julie, who helped advertise our jobs, shortlisted candidates for us, and let us interview at the Job Centre. We've hired some great people, and Job Centre Plus really took the hassle out of it, and there was no fee.
Brilliant. That's straight on my to-do list.
Find out more at business.gov.uk/recruit. Eligibility criteria apply.
Waitrose presents...
And the main event.
One cub learns that love doesn't always shout.
Enough for me.
Sometimes it whispers.
I saved you first bit, Dad.
Starring succulent number one free-range turkey bauble, wrapped in dry-cured beetroot smoked bacon, with cranberry jeweled pork stuffing and orange glaze.
Ooh, thanks.
Waitrose, the home of food lovers. Subject to availability and delivery slots, available to order online and in stores from 19th of December.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973.
9 minutes before nine. It's an exodus, and we'll come back to that in a moment. But let's go back to the figures that dropped almost as we came on air, which is, of course, the inflation figures down from 3.80, just a touch to 3.6. Here with some more background on that is Conservative MP and Shadow Chancellor Samuel Stride, who joins me now. Samuel, I'm sure the first thing you want to say is to congratulate the government. Inflation has been checked. Good morning.
Well, good morning, Nick. I don't think I'll be invited to be quite that enthusiastic. So, look, it's good that inflation has come down a little bit. The IMF, though, says that we will have the highest inflation in the G7 this year and next year. And, of course, within those figures, food inflation actually has risen quite sharply from 4.5 to 4.9%. So people are going to be still feeling this very painfully in their shopping baskets. And this is because of the choices that the government's taken, both in terms of taxing businesses, which gets passed on by way of higher prices, and also borrowing and spending vast amounts of money, which is driving inflationary pressures upwards. So
the Chancellor would challenge you there, Samel, and would say, come on, Samel, she would say, Ukraine, rising energy prices is what the Chancellor would counter with. Samel.
So look, we all face these external pressures, and we very dramatically saw that when we were in government, of course, when we had the Ukraine-Russia war and inflation spiked as a consequence. But this is about more domestic factors. This is about taxing jobs, so employers are finding their costs going up as a consequence, so they pass some of that on through higher prices. And of course, if you borrow and spend large amounts of money without productivity gains in the economy, which is what this government's been doing, then you see inflation staying higher for longer. And the consequence of that, Nick, is that actually interest rates, because the Bank of England tries to control inflation through interest rates, stay higher for longer, and that's why people are paying more on their mortgages, businesses are finding it more expensive to borrow, and servicing our national debt, which is running at $100 billion a year, or twice what we spend on defence, is also a major factor and consequence of higher inflation, I'm afraid.
Samel, I doubt I'll speak to you ahead of next week's... That's a week to go, isn't it? Ahead of next week's budget. Give my listeners what they should be listening out for. What would cause you grave concern? What would actually might possibly lift your spirits? Samel.
Okay, well, grave concern, I think, will be further taxes on hard-working people. So look out for extending the freeze on the tax thresholds for income tax, dragging more people into higher rates of income tax. And look at what Labour are going to say about welfare and benefits. So they're probably going to say they're going to scrap the two-child benefit cap, which means that they're prepared to pay benefits to people irrespective of the size of the families that they decide they're going to have. So we're going to be looking at tax on hard-pressed, hard-working people being transferred into the benefits system, which I think is the wrong choice. Hope, well, I think the best we can hope for, Nick, is that we don't repeat the mistakes of the past and that she comes through this budget with the commentariat and the market saying that is the end of all this speculation around what may or may not have to be done going forward. She's got to nail that. So that's the main thing that I'm hoping she's going to achieve. But I'm afraid it's going to be some very difficult choices and the wrong choices for the economy and the British people.
Lastly, when I put the phone down on you, I'm going back to my callers. We're talking about this extraordinary, almost exodus from this country. You might not yet have had sight of the figures, but the numbers are in 257,000 left last year. This is a record. And a lot of people are young, highly talented, skilled and enthusiastic. You're at least one of those. Your reaction to all the people who are leaving, Samel?
Well, it's deeply depressing. I mean, within those figures, you've had about 16,000 high net worth individuals who left this country. They've gone to lower tax jurisdictions like the United Arab Emirates or Milan or Monaco or Malta or wherever they may have gone. And of course, a huge amount of tax walks out the door when those people leave. And in fact, if you look at the numbers, you probably need about a third to half a million people on average earnings to actually cover the tax that has left our country because those people have left. And younger people, as you say, people are much more mobile nowadays, and they're turned off by an economy that has been layered up with taxation, regulation. We've got the Employment Rights Bill coming down the line, which is going to make it much more risky to employ people in this country. And these are choices that this government has taken. And, you know, this exodus, I'm afraid, is just evidence of the wrong decisions that have been made.
I'm sure we'll talk next week after that budget. Conservative MP Shadow Chancellor Samel Strive, thanks for your time. You've taken us to 8:56 or 4 minutes before nine. Let's talk about those parcel deliveries. Millions of us now suffering frustration. Julie's in Kenton. Julie, what do you want to tell us? Good morning.
Hi, good morning, Nick. I'm coming at it from a different angle.
Right.
So I run a small business doing baby embroidery.
Oh, right.
And I send out about I just personalise babies' blankets.
Mm.
But a very small business. In fact, it's just me.
Mm.
And I probably send out maybe 50 parcels a week.
Right.
And I think that figure you gave of people who saying that they didn't receive their parcels. Yes, they're lying, Nick.
11
they're lying.
Go ahead. Yes. Why do you say they're lying?
They're lying. Because yes. It's not right that the parcel companies leave the parcels on the doorstep. I get that.
Right.
But like we say, they're under pressure. So, but I will get people say, oh, I didn't get my parcel. And when I look at it, they take a photo. When I look it up and it's on the doorstep, my heart drops. And I'll go back to them and say, oh, look, this is where they left it. They say, oh, I didn't get it. And then we have no choice but to refund them.
How much does that cost? They're lying, have you ever worked out? You said that. have you ever worked out how much this costs your business?
To be honest with you, I haven't got a figure, but
no.
It does happen a lot. And I think that people almost, they want them to leave it on the doorstep because then they think, oh, well, I'll just get a refund for that one.
Right. You haven't thought of perhaps using a different courier firm?
I have, but it happens with majority of them, yeah. The ones that I've used, majority of them will leave it on the doorstep, which, like I say, they shouldn't do. And right. They are sort of meant to get a signature and things like that.
Indeed, or a photograph. Often I'm asked to sort of hold it, and they take a photograph of me holding
yeah.
it. I don't know whether they're just having sport with me. Yeah. Julie, Christmas around the corner. You can mention your business if you want to, or if you're so busy and you don't want any extra work, if anybody wants anything
important. I'd love to.
Go on.
I'd love to. It's littlebeautiesboutique.co.uk.
Littlebeautiesboutique.co.uk. And you could do sort of baby blankets. You can put the initials on or the baby's name.
And we can do first Christmas. Baby grows, blankets, hats, you name it.
Good luck with it. Julie, I hope you have a busy and a successful Christmas as well, an enjoyable one, I should say. One more call on this. Tony is in Columpton. I don't know Columpton, but it's in Devon. Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. What a pleasure. I love your programme.
Oh, thank you. What's the parcel problems that you've had?
Well, I live out in the sticks, actually, near Kentishbere. We're 3 miles from Columpton, which is on the M5,
right.
Just before Exeter, if you want to know where we are.
Yep.
And I was expecting this parcel, and I'll give them their due. They sent me an email, and they said they delivered it to the house with the recycling boxes outside,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was strange. Anyway, I looked everywhere, couldn't find it. And next door, they're the farm, and we're the buyer. So quite often things get left there.
Right. So and so where was it, there. Tony?
Sorry, I went round there, nothing.
Ah.
And I went to sleep, and then luckily I woke up early, and I thought, recycling boxes. And I walked down and opened my recycling box, which was waiting to be collected, and there it was inside the recycling box.
So if you hadn't gone down, it would have gone?
It would have gone with the recycling, and I've never seen it again, yeah.
You were very, very industrious. Congratulations tracking down it. Bit of a worry for all of us, isn't it, if it's the collection day, if they're putting stuff in the bin. Tony, have yourself a safe day. Coming up after news, with China spying at record levels. Speaking with you earlier in the show, Conservative MP, former security minister and Chinese sceptic Tom Tugendhat said we need to be concerned about this threat.
Now, the Chinese use espionage in the way that we would use market research. They've just got a huge country, they've got a lot of intelligence agents, and they used it very aggressively.
Plus, the tragedy, it would appear, of a teacher who took his life, 54-year-old physics teacher. He was on a school trip, and I'm not condoning the comments. He reportedly said, no gum, no gaze, to some of the pupils. Because of the inquiry, it's reported he took his life. We'll look at that disturbing story in more detail. 9 o'clock news is next.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 9 o'clock, the Defence Minister has admitted to LBC the UK needs to move faster to rearm and increase defence capabilities. It's after a damning report found the country lacks a plan to defend itself and is moving at a glacial pace to fix it. The Defence Select Committee also warns the UK is over-reliant on the US for its defence. Minister Luke Pollard's told Nick that 13 new sites are being looked at to build new arms factories.
We're reforming defence as fast as we can. We've already seen big changes in the way that defence is run. We're ending that hollowing out and underfunding of our armed forces, and that's precisely why we've been able to give our fighting forces the biggest pay rise in 20 years. It's precisely why our defence review is the first defence review since the 1980s that increases the size of the British Army.
Separately, the Defence Minister has told LBC the government is looking carefully into the use of Chinese vehicles for Ministry of Defence staff. It's reported that stickers banning workers from discussing state secrets have been fitted inside a fleet of electric cars. MI5 issued a warning yesterday that politicians face a significant risk of espionage from the Chinese state. Beijing has dismissed those claims. The rate of inflation has fallen to its lowest level since June. Figures show it dropped slightly to 3.6% last month after the easing of gas and electricity costs. The Chancellor, Rachel Reeves, says it is positive news but wants to go further.
I recognise that inflation, the cost of living, is still a big burden on families right across the country. And that's why in the budget next week I'll be taking targeted action to bring down inflation to address the cost of living.
A bill calling for the release of every file that US officials have on Jeffrey Epstein has cleared its latest hurdle. American politicians voted in favour of making more documents public. Citizens Advice say a record 15 million people experienced an issue with their most recent parcel delivery. Late arrivals or items being left in unsecure locations were among the most common problems. Yodel came last in the league table. The Royal Mail topped that list. And Scotland's men have ended their 28-year wait to qualify for a World Cup with a 4-2 win over Denmark at Hampden Park last night. Wales thrashed North Macedonia 7-1 to confirm home advantage in their playoff semi-final. In the city a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was down 4 at 95.48. The pound buys $1.31 and a euro 13. LBC weather, dry, cold and sunny for many. Some wintry showers for the north of Scotland, a high of 6 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
Christmas is coming. You're either hosting the crowds at home.
They'll be here any minute.
Or driving to guest at the in-laws. Streaming movies in the front room or cartoons in the back seat. Prepping the party playlist or making your way on maps.
Again.
So whether you're hosting or guesting, you need the UK's best mobile network and broadband technology. EE does more.
UK best network. Root metrics data H125. Full fibre is the UK's most reliable broadband technology. Ofcom's broadband terminology research March 2023. Verify at ee.co.uk/claims.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning. 4 minutes after nine, Wednesday, the 19th of November. China crisis alarm. MI5 names China spy suspects targeting MPs. The Speaker of the House warns parliamentarians they are actively spying. Meanwhile, it would appear we're continuing to lease cars from a Chinese manufacturer. Why? We'll look at that in more detail. The report that a respected teacher took his life after making ill-advised, and I do not support comments, on a foreign trip saying no gum, no gaze about a trip to Singapore. If it is true that that led to that man taking his life, while again, I'm not supporting it, is it really to that level, the reaction? And we'll come back to the story. I'm a Brit, so
I'm leaving on a jet plane. Hate to go.
Well, unfortunately, John, they don't hate to go. Record number of people leaving this country. We'll return to that subject later in this hour.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Two front pages at either at both ends of the journalistic spectrum they're in, no doubt, from The Telegraph to The Guardian. The crisis posed by China. The former of the two, The Telegraph, Chinese threat has risen, warns Speaker, after fresh MI5 alert. For The Guardian, alarm, China spy suspects targeting MPs. Both papers quote this report from MI5, which is pretty rare, by the way. Well, no, strike that. It's almost unprecedented. It is not without precedent, but it's almost unprecedented. Warning that MPs, peers, parliamentarians, what are called SPADs, which are special parliamentary advisors, special advisors working in parliament, are facing a covert and calculated attempt to be spied upon. Now, the first hour of the show, I spoke with Conservative MP and former Security Minister Tom Tugendhat. He told me the government should be doing more to counter the threat of China. You'll hear him reference Dan. Dan is Dan Jarvis, the current Security Minister, and, of course, a Labour MP.
I mean, I don't entirely criticise what Dan's done. I think, you know, Dan's a very old friend and he's a good guy. And what he's done is the first few steps. I'm afraid what he needs to do is introduce the foreign influence registration scheme with China in the enhanced tier. Now, he's done the first bit, but he hasn't done the second. And I know why he hasn't done the second. It's not because of him. It's because the Treasury doesn't want to put spokes in the wheels of business, and I understand that. And the Foreign Office doesn't want to make an enemy, and I understand that. But instead what that means is it means that Chinese agents are wandering around completely free to do whatever they like. And the whole point of the first scheme that I introduced, and that was one of the key bits of the National Security Act that I introduced in 2023, is that it means that intelligence officers, our intelligence officers from MI5, have a starting point on where to look. They're able to see patterns, they're able to see themes, they're able to see, you know, areas where Chinese spies, basically, are going around our country looking for information. And by the way, it's not just us. The Americans have got one, the Australians have got one, even the Europeans have now got one. So, I mean, frankly, we are now a softer target than we really should be.
I also asked Mr. Dugenhardt his views on the idea of this so-called super embassy. Just to remind you, a decision is due next month. It will be China's biggest embassy in Europe. It would be the site of what's called the Royal Mint next to Tower of London, effectively next to the City of London, the powerhouse that, of course, gets in so much finance. Not a bad place if you want to do a bit of spying, I would suggest. And, of course, this does, the conversation I had with Tom Tugendhat and the MI5 report, what of this idea of this super embassy? I asked Minister for Defence Readiness and Industry, Luke Pollard, about that decision.
Well, that decision on the embassy currently sits with ministers as a part of a quasi-judicial planning process. That means it's a legal process they're following. We've been clear we need a bit more time to make that decision due to the complexities of the national security implications. The government said the decision will be made by the 10th of December on that. But it's certainly true that China poses challenges and threats to our national security, but it also presents opportunities for in the economic space as well. So how we address this matters, and that complexity is why we have to be thoughtful and careful about how we approach these challenges, as well as ensuring that we're not missing out on job opportunities, because we know that China is integrated within our economy. Every single person listening to this will have Chinese technology somewhere at home, but we need to be taking more steps to protect ourselves, and that's why MI5 have taken the unusual step in publishing information for parliamentarians and their staff, but I think it also applies to British businesses and the general public as well, about how we can be more aware of the threats online so we can better protect ourselves.
Lastly on this, you're right, I think everybody has a bit of Chinese kit somewhere either on them or in their homes, but we learned that also the Chinese cars used by the MOD are now going to have spy alerts put on the dashboard. This is 745 electric vehicles, 1,414 hybrids, many of them MGs from China. Can you assure us that you will no longer lease cars that are made in China?
So we're looking carefully at what the options are with Chinese technology.
Why is it even a conversation, Minister? I don't understand. You've leased some that are obviously concerned. The MOD have put alerts on the dashboards. We also learned that apparently in Norway now, Chinese buses have a kill switch that can be operated from China. Can you assure my listeners we will not lease any more Chinese vehicles?
So we're looking into Chinese vehicles within our fleets. We have a fleet of tens of thousands of vehicles in the Ministry of Defence, and those vehicles represent a very small number. But whether you're driving a Chinese car or a non-Chinese car, what we've asked our people to do is not plug Ministry of Defence technology into their vehicle, not to have conversations at a secret classification in any vehicle, due to the increasing threats of surveillance that exist in every single vehicle, to only have those secret conversations in secure locations. That's a prudent and reasonable thing for anyone concerned about
security. So the cars are listening. The cars are listening to us, are they?
Well, I mean, we can see the kind of like network cars that are available on the market from all vehicle manufacturers not only have in some cases dozens of cameras to enable and to help drive, but also microphones inside the cars as well. That's why we've got to be careful.
So why on earth would we even consider leasing any more, Minister? It doesn't make sense to me. I'm missing something here. Surely the order should come from you or your colleague or whoever this afternoon. No more Chinese leased vehicles until you hear back from us. Stop now.
Yeah, and that's precisely what we're investigating at the moment, Nick.
What's to investigate, Minister? What's to investigate? We're apparently in Oslo. I've now found it's in Oslo. Buses have a kill switch. God knows what these cars have with our brave men and women driving around from the MOD. Just stop the leasing now.
It's precisely what we're investigating, because the important piece here, Nick, it's not just Chinese cars. And this is why, when we talk about the pervasiveness of Chinese technologies and the vulnerability that creates, those Chinese technologies exist in car manufacturers, cars manufactured not just in China, but across the world as well. That's why we're looking at what measures can prudently be taken. And in the immediate term, we're asking people not to have classified conversations. I think that's pretty reasonable to say, don't have that in a vehicle, have it in a secure location where we can be assured of the secrecy of those conversations, but we're investigating what it is. But there's Chinese technology everywhere.
All right.
And because it is everywhere, we have to take more prudent steps across our entire economy. That's what we're looking at doing with our colleagues across government to make sure that we can keep ourselves safe.
Luke Pollard, the Minister for Defence Readiness and Industry. Why does everything now have to be subject to a review or an investigation or a commission or a committee? Why can no one take a damn decision? This is almost out of the thick of it, isn't it, when you think about the comedy show? We have a major problem with China. Yes, don't worry, they already know. How? Because I spoke about it in the car. Just stop them now, surely. And the embassy. Now we're going to have to wait almost, not quite a month. And I bet that goes to some kind of review as well. Philip's in Marlow. Philip, you're on the radio. Good morning.
Morning, Nick. I'm laughing because 5 years ago, I was working in an embassy in the Middle East, and everybody was using different telephones, right. And so it was decided that he would standardise on a single make.
Right.
And the IT man cheerfully came round and swapped all our phones for Huawei merchandise.
And even the United Kingdom's had nervousness about Huawei, haven't they, if that's how Halperin pronounces it?
Well, it's Chinese, and all our telephones. But to be fair to the government, whatever you put on a telephone these days, whatever the state of the telephone, you can listen into it.
But the idea... Right, let's get you on the 2 points we're going to. The embassy, yes or no?
Yes or no what?
Would you allow it to be built?
You have to have an embassy.
They've got one. They want an even bigger. They want a very big one, and they want it right next door to the City of London. And there are a lot of people now. You could say they're interested parties because some of them are conservatives and campaigners. But a lot of people are saying allowing the Chinese, where there is obviously a degree of hostility, to base themselves effectively right next door to the City of London and all the money and all the financial
right next door to the US embassy.
A little bit over, wouldn't it be? Because that's down in Battersea.
Yeah, but I mean they're all at it.
So what would you say to the Chinese, yes or no? Build or no?
I'd say to the Chinese, you build it, but we will monitor it and take what action is appropriate according to each circumstance.
Philip, thank you for your input on that and the story about those phones coming up after your death at the college. What would appear to be a few ill-advised and unsupportable remarks made a public school teacher take his life? I'll give you the background to that. It's 9:15, LBC News Headlines. Dominic Ellis.
The Defence Minister has admitted to LBC the UK needs to move faster to rearm and increase defence capabilities after a damning report. The rate of inflation has fallen to its lowest level since June, and Scotland's men have ended their 28-year wait to qualify for a World Cup. LBC weather dry, cold and sunny for many wintry showers for the north of Scotland, a high of 6 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Dave Goff. There are long delays on the A1M northbound. Two lanes are closed because of an accident between Junction 4 for Hartford and Junction 6 for Welwyn Garden City. On the M25, anti-clockwise, there's one lane closed. A van has broken down between Junction 26 for Waltham Abbey and 25 for Enfield. So they're accused from the M11 at Junction 27. There are delays in Gravesend on the A2 westbound. Traffic has been held after tollgate services because of an accident. In Tottenham, they're accused on the A10 High Road. It is partly blocked in both directions. That's because of an accident at St. Louis Road. They're accused in South Kensington on the A4 Cromwell Road going into town. It's partly blocked because of an accident near Sainsbury's. And on the Tube, there's no service on the Piccadilly line between Rayners Lane and Uxbridge because of the poor rail conditions.
LBC.
Hey Sainsbury's, I'm planning an extra special roast for the family. Got any deals?
Why not try our Taste the Difference beef roasting joint? Only £9.50 per kilo with Nectar. That's better than half price. It's a meal that'll definitely put a smile on their faces.
And a price that puts one on mine.
Dreaming of the perfect winter roast? Ask Sainsbury's. Sainsbury's, good food for all of us.
18 plus, Nectar required. Available in store and online, excluding locals. Delivery fees may apply, subject to availability. T's and C's apply.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. LBC.
So, look, saying thanks isn't my strong point, Dad. But it doesn't mean I don't want to say it. Like, telling you thanks for being, well, my dad. Saying thanks for keeping my chair at the dinner table. I only moved out 8 years ago. For teaching me how to load a dishwasher correctly. Didn't know there was a right way. And for all the advice I never listened to. But you know what I'm like. I never get round to saying it.
This Christmas, if you can't find the words, find the gift. John Lewis.
At this time of year, we know you're snowed under. But with Halfords' biggest ever Black Friday sale, you handle the shopping, we'll handle the saving. Grab up to 50% off our motoring and cycling must-haves, including tools, in-car tech, bikes and more. Whether it's Christmas gifts, everyday essentials, or just an excuse to treat yourself, we've got you covered. Pop to your local Halfords today or shop online. Offer subject to availability, full T's and C's and exclusions apply. See Halfords.com for details.
How's the business going?
We're busier than ever, but struggling to get the staff we need.
Recruiting can be such a distraction. We gave Job Centre Plus a try, and they've really helped us out.
Really?
Yeah, it was dead easy. We got our own employer advisor, Julie, who helped advertise our jobs, shortlisted candidates for us, and let us interview at the Job Centre. We've hired some great people, and Job Centre Plus really took the hassle out of it. And there was no fee.
Brilliant. That's straight on my to-do list.
Find out more at business.gov.uk/recruit. Eligibility criteria apply.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
I'll be coming to you, Sid, the next caller, regarding China, and plenty coming in as well on the texts and the emails. But let's come to this other conversation. Really, really upsetting story that I've mentioned a couple of times. I want to say right at the outset, I am no way defending the comments that were made by this teacher, but we speak of John Wright, who was 54. He'd taught physics for 10 years at the Marlborough College, which is a very prestigious school, which was attended by the Princess of Wales, and it is reported that it could well be where Prince George will go. It is also reported that that is why the school is desperately keen to keep its image. There was a, there was a school trip, an exchange trip to Malaysia and Singapore with pupils from Marlborough College. And Mr. Wright, who was a physics teacher, accompanied some of the pupils. Well, he was reported for inappropriate behaviour, and over the summer, he was disciplined and was fired for inappropriate, as I say, quotes, inappropriate behaviour. One newspaper has, the Daily Mail, has put a lot of time and investigation into this and has discovered that what led to his dismissal was him saying to a pupil, and again, I'm not supporting this, but the following: no gum, no gaze. Now, he made the comment as the group got off at a metro stop in Singapore. It's believed he was joking about laws held by both countries the school were visiting during a 17-day trip. It is worth telling you that in Singapore, chewing gum is banned and homosexuality is illegal in Malaysia, and they were visiting those two countries. A source tells the paper, he said some other things, but none as bad as that. He was a lovely teacher. He was known for making flippant comments and would often do that in front of pupils and senior teachers. He didn't mean any offence. He was being cheeky and silly. Mr. Wright was found by his wife Rachel at the family home in Marlborough. He lived just 10 minutes from the college in the early evening of one day earlier this month. An inquest opened last week at Wiltshire Coroner's Court and gave the cause of death as asphyxiation with compression of the neck structures by a ligature. The inquest was adjourned. So everything points to the fact. Now, again, why is it, or how is it, that we've come to a point where, had this been sustained comments about homosexuality, had there been some kind of comments made online, had he gone on and on about it, I can understand it. But if, as is reported, and again, I am not for one moment suggesting that it was right what he said, can anyone explain to me how we've come to a position where it would appear this man took his life because he lost his job? Or let's back up a little. Let's go to the college. I would imagine whoever sits on the executive committee now, because it is reported that Mr. Wright was a very popular teacher, a successful teacher, I would imagine the executive committee having a long, hard look at themselves right now. But had you been sitting on that committee, and you investigate, and you get the pupils who reported the remarks, and you talk with them, and you get other teachers, because I'm sure there are other teachers on the trip, and you say, was this like a sustained points of view that were taken? But no, it just happened the once. My question is, did he really need to be fired? How have we come now to a position where we are so unforgiving in this country that one, I mean, I don't think he would have lost his job for no gum. I'd be surprised if that would cause you to lose your job, although you never know these days. One ill-advised, inappropriate, offensive, highly offensive comment, two words, no gays, you lose your job, you take your life. There's been a lot of publicity about Caroline Flack. Do you remember when that poor young woman took her life? And there was a TV documentary or something recently where her mother was talking. And I'd only ever met Caroline Flack once. She seemed a very charming young woman. Certainly was very polite and everything when I met with her. I don't know her, so I met her once. What do I know about her? But it was said after that, that we needed to be much kinder, much gentler. We need to be stop being so judgmental. How long did that last? Half an hour? I don't know the ins and outs. I don't know anyone at Marlborough College. I don't think I've even ever been to Marlborough. No, I've never been to Marlborough College. I don't know if I know anyone who has been to Marlborough College. But the executive committee who took that decision, unless there's material that they've not made public, and if you read this chunky piece in the Daily Mail, you just know that if they had any more, then there would have been possibly a private briefing to the journalists saying, well, you need to be that aware of this, that or the other. So in a long-winded way, my question is, why now are we so unforgiving? Appalling, misjudged, ugly, two-word remark. Your job is gone, your career is ruined. And he was 54. He was 54? He was, that's right. He was 54. A 54-year-old man dismissed from a prestigious school such as Marlborough College. It's not going to be easy for him to find work again. I doubt he's going to find work at the level of Marlborough College. He might be able to work at a different school. But he obviously thought he was on the scrap heap. He probably thought he'd let his family down. And that's what he did. How have we come so unforgiving? We'll pick up on that in a moment. Now, the more moot point, of course, is China. And the fact that they want to build this massive embassy here in London. And we are still leasing their cars. Sid's in Bradford. What should happen now, Sid? Good morning.
Brilliant topic. Chinese government have obviously, you know what they're about, data collection.
Well, MI5 know more than I, and they're worried about it, so I take their advice, I think.
Well, to be fair, everything that pretty much every app that everyone's using these days, like TikTok or Shein or Temu, all these platforms, they're all data collecting all the time.
Right.
The problem is, at this moment in time, you were getting a lot of subsidized cheap tech. Example, cheap mobile phones you can buy for, like, you know, an iPhone, you know, replica for £50.
Mm-hmm.
But the app that you're downloading is then giving them access to basically every other app and every piece of information for life, not while you've got the phone,
nope.
For the lifetime of that phone. And that includes all security cameras.
Do you think, Sid, I mean, I'm looking at my mobile phone now. I've no idea where all the components were made, but there's a fair chance there's something in here, isn't there, that was made in China. There's going to be a bit somewhere in this phone that was made in China.
I've been in the mobile phone business since the 90s, early 90s, and I know that every phone has a Bluetooth on it and has got Wi-Fi on it. It's constantly sending out signals to your router and every device that is connected to your router at home, whether it's connected, yeah. You know, and that
Let's boil it down to this key decision then. Here we go. The embassy that they want to build in London. It would be their largest in the whole of Europe. Yes or no to that?
Definitely a no.
Thank you. Continuing to lease cars, where we now know that MOD officials have been told, do not have sensitive conversations in your car, do not plug any MOD kit into your car, whether it need to charge the battery. And they can't even decide whether to stop leasing other Chinese makers. Stop leasing, yes or no?
it's not going to make a difference. Because every car manufacturer has some Chinese components in there, in the side of it.
What, like a... Do they still make Volvos? Volvo's going to...
Well, it's the chips. Well, you know the chip inside the actual controllers that controls, you know, all these smart devices inside your car.
So like, that's going to be... So even in my American Jeep, or American-made Jeep...
Yes, because the IC components are all made in China.
So China's got things in my American Jeep, so I can't even have conversations there. Sid, have yourself a good day. Thanks for holding. Let's talk about the tragedy of this teacher. Ben's in Bethnal Green. Why are we so unforgiving, Ben?
I think everyone's just a little bit more precious nowadays about stating facts. The guy was stating a fact about the legality of those issues in that country. So I don't understand why he was sort of brought up on his comments.
No, do I. Neither do I. I mean, it's not appropriate language, of course. He should say, you know, pupils, be aware, we're going to a country where homosexuality is banned. That would have been the way to do it, of course.
Yeah, so if he said homosexuals, would that be different to gays? Is there a terminology?
I'm not running the committee at Marlborough College. What do you think, sir? What do you think?
I mean, just because saying the word gays isn't an offensive term. I just don't get why everyone's so precious about terminology nowadays. We're living in a society where everyone's tiptoeing around what they have to say nowadays. You know, did he say anything that was actually illegal?
No.
No.
It's ill-advised, though, I think. We'd agree with that. To couch it in those terms is ill-advised. That's fair.
Yes, but... For him to lose his jobs, surely a suspension or a written warning of some sort.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think it's unfair and very sad.
And now his family have to come to terms with that. Someone who clearly, I mean, he taught there for 10 years. It will be a very high-pressure environment teaching those children because their parents will expect fantastic results if they're spending £60,000 a year because that's what the Marlborough College charges. It seems desperately wrong. Thanks for your input on that, Ben. See if others want to comment on that. But it is China that we're talking about. And on the subject of the embassy, Mike in Crawley, should it be built? No. Unfortunately, as in most cases, money talks and the opposition walks. Cue mealy-mouthed excuses from a variety of politicians who'll talk about how important it is to retain economic ties, while at the same time preserving, etc., etc., etc. As a sovereign nation, it's up to us to dictate the size and site of embassies and legations. If we deny the embassy, no doubt the Chinese will threaten all sorts of reprisals, which, if we take notice of, shows who has the whip hand in our relations. Same subject. Steve says it's no wonder Labour Party is being reticent about declaring China a hostile site. Miliband and this government have based the future of the UK energy sector on cheap Chinese imports in the wind turbine and solar panel systems. They cannot afford to upset China. Brian's in Tamworth. Brian, how nervous or otherwise are you about these warnings from MI5, the Speaker of the House and others? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. I just don't trust the Chinese. You never seem to hear anything about China on the news. You hear anything about Russia, America.
Well, you're hearing on it today. I mean, it's the front page of, I think, at least three newspapers today, of course.
Yeah. The reason I called was when you were talking about the cars. I spent 6 months working at Land Rover, and you can imagine the size of that factory.
Oh, vast.
And every car has a tracker built into it, so if you need to find it in the factory, it could be anywhere. Except the Chinese cars. They weren't allowed to put trackers in the Chinese cars.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. They weren't allowed to have trackers in them. And then they started hanging like a tracker off the door mirror so it could be removed. And then that stopped. So if you need to find a car destined for China, you have to manually walk around the whole factory and find it.
Why do you think that is? What lay behind that, do you think?
Because obviously, the Chinese obviously don't want trackers in their vehicles for some reason.
Brian, thank you for that experience. I have more calls also coming up after the news. I'm a Brit, so I'm...
I'm leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when I'll be back.
An all-time record number of Brits, billionaires, millionaires and the young say they're leaving. We'll return to that story after the news. 9:30, breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari on LBC. The news is read by Dominic Ellis.
The Defence Minister Luke Pollard has admitted to LBC that the UK needs to move faster to rearm. It's after a highly critical report found the country lacks a plan to defend itself and is moving at a glacial pace to fix the problem. Separately, the Defence Minister's told Nick that further steps are being considered to protect against political interference by foreign
Twin Powers. MI5 warned yesterday about attempts by China to influence activity at Westminster, something Beijing has denied. And the rate of inflation has fallen to its lowest level since June. Figures show it dropped to 3.6% last month after the easing of gas and electricity costs. LBC weather, dry, cold and sunny for many, some wintry showers for the north of Scotland, a high of 6 degrees.
LBC.
At this time of year, we know you're snowed under. But with Halfords' biggest ever Black Friday sale, you handle the shopping, we'll handle the saving. Grab up to 50% off our motoring and cycling must-haves, including tools, in-car tech, bikes and more. Whether it's Christmas gifts, everyday essentials, or just an excuse to treat yourself, we've got you covered. Pop to your local Halfords today or shop online. Offer subject to availability, full T's and C's and exclusions apply. See Halfords.com for details.
A message from TfL.
I saw him in the local news a few days after. His name's Rakesh. They had to put him into a coma just because I didn't look again at that turning. He had two kids. How did I not see his bike ahead of me? Well, I didn't look again. He didn't make it.
Drivers, take another look, not a life. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters.
It's easy to forget just how crazy things have been over the past couple of years. Every day we wake up to something new. Tariffs and taxes on anything and everything. It's tempting to put your hands in your ears and go, la 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 la, I can't hear you, until it's all over. But you know what's the best response to crazy times? A plan for your money. And Quilter can help. Because let's face it, there's probably going to be some crazy times ahead too. Money needs a plan. Quilter. Pensions, investments, advice. Find out more at quilter.com.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
Let's talk about more about this tragedy at the college. Ill-advised comments. Nobody put it. But a man takes his life. George is in St. Albans. George, on the radio. Good morning. Your view on this story.
So, Nick, what I found in is that I think as society in general, we become addicted to punishment. And I think that we all have to be held to account, but I do think that people need to be offered a path to repentance and redemption. And I don't know what happened in this particular situation. I remember I read a book a couple of months back about a conservative church in America where they had a situation where two of the youth pastors were, you know, kind of living, quote-unquote, living in sin and had a baby and blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And they offered them a path to, you know, let's support you, let's understand why you did these things, and uncovered all of that. The baby was born, they got married, they celebrated it. My point is, you need a path to redemption. Failing that, then the teacher could have been dismissed. I just think that we become very hard, and we're all human. We all, God knows, we've all made mistakes. And if we do have that opportunity, failing that, then of course you can measure out the consequences. I hope that makes sense, and I hope you hear my heart in the story.
I can, and I can hear an enormous amount of sympathy and empathy. And I put it to you, George, that if you and I were running Marlborough College, we certainly would have not let the bloke go. We'd have talked about either a letter on file or perhaps a brief suspension. That's as far as you go.
Now, Nick, I don't know the situation and what else happened behind the scenes. All I'm saying is that from a societal point of view, we need to come to a point where, hang on, let's try and get each other through. You know, we're all in this together. We're all in the same country. We're all part of humanity. Let's fix it. And there are ways to fix it.
Well, George, I can hear the empathy in what you're saying, but I don't think the college showed much humanity. I have to tell you, it is also reported that, I hope we all heard those words, it is also reported that the college failed to listen to other teachers who were sought to defend Mr. Wright and praised his conduct on the trip, with a source telling the newspaper, the Daily Mail, the way John was treated was outrageous. These were not offensive comments. Perhaps you could say they were inappropriate. They should not have led to his sacking. What will be intriguing is that the inquest, of course, as I told you, was opened and it's been adjourned, so it will continue. I would imagine there's a degree of nervousness at Marlborough College now, and quite rightly, because if the coroner does his or her job, and I'm sure they will, they'll want to know the ins and outs of this disciplinary procedure. And you can be subpoenaed. Yes, I think you can be subpoenaed to a coroner's court. so they would be forced to give evidence. And of course, if they were to misrepresent, I'm sure they wouldn't dream of doing it, but if they were to misrepresent themselves, then it gets even more serious, doesn't it? All for saying, should get it the right order again, all for saying no gum, no gaze on a trip to Malaysia and Singapore. We'll return to that subject. But talking about other nations, sadly, a lot of you, a record number of you, or possibly you're not now listening to you, a number of people decided to leave this country, and it's not just billionaires and millionaires. It was thought to be the figure would come in at about around 70-something, 77, 78,000. In fact, when the numbers actually dropped, it was a whisker under 300,000, a record number. Why? Well, we spoke about this earlier in the show. Here's a little of what you told me, starting with James in Bracknell.
It's not just the non-doms. I'm talking about my daughter. I've got three daughters. The middle one I'm talking about, she's 23. She did a psychology degree in Nottingham Trent. She's done a master's. She's going to go heading out to Australia again. She's been applying for lots of jobs, and you get the normal AI response after 1 minute, having done a three-hour application. And, yes, so she's quite upset by this country now. And she looked around. She now has felt that she doesn't want to do just temporary zero-hour contract roles. She deserves a lot more. We're one of those people that's been, we've fought tooth and nail together through private education and sacrificed a lot. So I feel she's now very sad, but I think she's going to take her asset elsewhere.
Chris is in Fulham.
We got back to UK end of August. Part of a plan, having been lived down in Auckland in New Zealand for the last 3 years and before then in Barcelona. Long story, but decided to come back to the UK. And yeah, I just felt really unwelcome. I just feel that now the headwinds that are in the UK from a tax point of view, it doesn't feel that I'm willing to contribute to the economy and to carry on working here in the UK. It just feels that there are so many things thrown against me. It's far more attractive to be looking to be moving overseas again.
Bianca's in Sunningdale.
People are calling and giving the same reasons for wanting to leave the UK as people that are wanting to come here. What my point is that people will always want to move for a better life, no matter what reasons, you know, that they have.
Coming to you, Pete, in just a second. This comes in from Dot Kyle. As a New Zealander living here in the UK 13 years, I say the grass is not always greener. New Zealand itself is seeing a large citizen exodus. In the year to June 2025, about 71,800 New Zealand citizens left the country, mostly heading to Australia or overseas, resulting in a net citizen loss of around 46,400. It is not just a UK problem. Josh in South Wales says, I'm 29 tomorrow. Happy birthday. I have two small children, one and two. I physically can't see a future for my family here. I don't want them to be brought up in a country that does nothing for its citizens. So many of my friends have emigrated. Their standards of life have improved. I'd like to think I've done everything I can to ensure I build a good foundation of success without getting a mortgage, with getting a mortgage at 23. But I still don't feel it is enough. Pete's in Derby. Pete, we're talking about your children, is that right? Good morning.
That's correct. Yes, morning.
Hello,
yeah,
sir.
That's correct. They moved out 3 years ago. They went to Dubai.
Yep.
I mean, they had got 8 jobs there. One worked for McLaren, one worked for the NHS. They went out, took the punt, and they're never coming back. The money they earn is out of this. I mean, I've never earned that sort of money in my life, do you know what I mean?
Really?
It's unreal. Okay, the rents are high, don't get me wrong, the rents are high, but they're buying this year. Now they're at a level that they're actually buying a house out there.
What age are your children?
29 and 30.
And, sorry, how long ago did they go?
It's been 3 years now.
3 years. And, sorry, you said one worked for the NHS. I didn't catch the other one worked for...
For McLaren.
McLaren?
Yeah.
Oh, the motor racers?
That's right. Okay. Working.
And what sort of jobs are they doing now?
Well, one is a mental health practitioner out there. And she goes, Dad, she goes, I'm earning three times, if not four times, what I'd be earning in England.
Mm.
And she goes, I work 3 days a week.
How often do you get to see them, Pete?
I go a couple of times a year because I employ seven people, but we're selling up now. We're actually setting up a business in Dubai because the tax and everything is just. I'm at this level now where I'm paying more out in wages than I'm making myself.
What sort of line is your business in?
We've got housing and shops.
And you're going to be able to do the same line in Dubai?
I'll do it in Dubai cheaper, make more money, and work less hours, and have a better lifestyle.
Had your children not gone to Dubai, do you think you'd be so keen yourself to go?
I personally was about to move to Spain 3 years ago, only 3-4 years ago. It's only because these guys decided to go to Dubai that I put everything on hold. Because I could see it was getting harder and harder here anyway. We've got rented out as well, so we're in the process of selling all them now.
Right, right. You must miss them though, Pete.
Well, like I said, I've just come back from there now, so I've just had 2 weeks out there now. The kids will be here. I'll be there at Christmas again. They'll be here in March.
Yeah.
I'll be back out there. And so, no, it's like going to Blackpool.
And if you were your children's age, 29 and 30, if you were a young man again, do you think you'd be leaving?
I would be leaving, because what I'm finding, I'm working a lot harder to make less money.
Mm.
And you know, I'm waiting for the budget now, and I can't wait to see how much more money she wants off me.
As a business,
I mean, I'll give you an example. I've got houses, which we're selling now, because it's a small...
Did you say you've got houses or your house? Sorry, I didn't quite catch.
So, we've got some houses as well, four houses.
You've got three or four houses, right?
It's not, even with all the... We're paying that much in tax on them now, and they're only about changing it again. It isn't even worth me having them anymore. But
lastly, have you got business associates who've already made the move, who've gone either?
I have. I've got a few opening, a couple of bars out there. I've got a couple of open chip shops out there.
Right.
My nephew and niece, my two nephews moved out last year. My other nephew, whose wife was a nurse here, they've gone to Australia. They've been gone 2 years. All the kids are moving out.
Good luck to you. And best wishes to your children and all the family. Pete, thank you. Kirsty's in Greenwich. Kirsty, would you leave the UK? Good morning.
Hi. Yeah, morning. Yeah, this is something we've been seriously considering for a while now. My husband and I moved here 12 years ago from South Africa.
I couldn't quite nail it, so I'm glad you told me South Africa. I was just trying to work out where you came from. Right, okay.
Yeah.
What attracted you to come to UK, Kirsty?
Well, it was the job opportunities we were presented with at the time, and we definitely wanted to give our child, who was then one, a better life.
Mm-hmm.
So we moved here, and it was really good for many years.
Did you get here?
Roughly 2010.
Okay.
Yes. Was it 2010? No, I'm lying. That's not 2010. It was 2013.
Okay, just after the Olympics. Okay. Yeah. And you liked it initially?
Yes, we still love it. We absolutely love it. But just things have changed so much that we don't feel like we're able to give our kids stable futures, the opportunities that they might have.
When you say things have changed, what has changed?
Yes. I mean, crime is on the up from when we came.
You see, they're going... Now, if Sir Sadiq Khan were here, or the Met, they'd say, no, crime is decreasing. I just don't think it's being reported. I just don't buy it. People are having their phones nicked at an extraordinary level.
Yes. So just going back where I come from, crime is on an all-time high there. But I somehow feel safer when I go back there than I am here letting my child out. I just don't feel like I can let her walk home anymore by herself. It's not just crime. Private school education has now the VAT, so mm-hmm. we have to worry about that. And I understand that if we move to Dubai, it's not like it's going to be way cheaper. Yes, it would be the same amount that we're spending here, but I definitely feel that we'd be a lot safer there than we do feel here at the moment. And just that, I just don't feel like we're getting good value for what we pay for here in taxes.
And your husband or partner is on the same page as you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We've been thinking about this for about 4 years now, and I definitely think we're giving ourselves a couple more months, and we're sort of hoping to make that move next year.
Where do you think you'd go?
We're moving to Dubai.
Are you to Dubai again, is it? Okay. And your yes. jobs are that portable, are they? You can do them effectively yes. in Dubai?
Yes, we can.
Look after your daughter. How old's your daughter?
She's 13.
Lastly, have you been to Dubai?
Yes, yeah. we do go there quite often.
I mean, it is stunning and the weather's amazing, but there's not a lot of culture in Dubai, is there? When you think you're at Greenwich and you've got the park and you've got the Maritime Museum and you've got the Cutty Sark, and I've only just started, you've got the Cutty Sark, it's an area I know very well. You're not going to get yes. that culture for your daughter, are you?
I know. We have considered that as well, that, you know, that would be missing, but it would be up to us to sort of... make sure that she...
Yeah, but you can't take the Cutty Sark to Dubai or the National Portrait Gallery or all the other museums in London, can you? You're not going to be able to do that.
That's true. We'd still come back here to visit.
You'd come back for the culture. Happy landings, whatever your decision is. Kirsty, best wishes to your teenage daughter. Obviously, I know the concerns, and I know you're part of London very well. All right, we'll come back to this. We'll leave you briefly, then we'll come back and talk more about why there is this exodus, as it were. 9:45, LBC News. Headlines now, though. Dominic Ellis.
Defence Minister Luke Pollard's admitted to LBC the UK needs to move faster to rearm and increase defence capabilities after a damning report. China says it has no interest in collecting intelligence from politicians at Westminster after MI5 warned about attempts by Beijing to gather information. And the rate of inflation has fallen to its lowest level since June. LBC weather dry, cold and sunny for many, wintry showers for the north of Scotland, a high of 6 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Dave Goff. There are long delays on the A1M northbound. Two lanes are closed because of an accident between Junction 4 for Hartford and Junction 6 for Welwyn Garden City. On the M25 clockwise, there are long delays from Junction 9 for Leatherhead to Junction 11 for Chertsey because of an accident that's now on the hard shoulder. There are queues in Gravesend on the A2 westbound. Traffic has been held after tollgate services because of an accident. In Tottenham, there are queues on the A10 High Road. It's partly blocked both ways because of an accident at St Loy's Road. There are long delays in Kensington Olympia. Hammersmith Road is partly blocked in both directions. That's because a bus has broken down at North End Road. And there are queues in Catford. South End Lane is partly blocked in both directions at the A21 Bromley Road. That's because of an accident.
Coming up at 10 on LBC, James O'Brien.
In the event of an attempted invasion, we wouldn't be able to defend ourselves. Does that matter? And PMQs from 12 should be a good one.
James O'Brien at 10. Listen on our free Global Player app or our new LBC app.
Hey Sainsbury's, off to my neighbour's Christmas do later. Got any gift ideas?
How about our Taste the Difference chocolate chip shortbread tin, deliciously Moorish all-butter biscuits in a bougie box? Or give them a treat for the eyes and the taste buds with our indulgent Taste the Difference cherry and amaretto panettone. What do you think?
I think I'd rather keep them for myself.
Looking for a tasty festive gift? Ask Sainsbury's. Sainsbury's, good food for all of us.
Subject to availability, available in selected supermarkets and online.
This is LBC. Listen on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app. Download it now from your app store.
For the nappies, peekaboos and tea parties. Mess, tantrums and sleepless nights. All those yo-yos, action figures and shinies. Lifts to mates, lifts to parties, lifts everywhere. For each and every one of those teenage years. Let's be honest. You probably owe your parents one. So tell them about pension credit. It could boost their pension income by an average of over £4,000 a year. Pension credit. Credit where credit's due. Eligibility criteria apply.
Amazon offers term time working to their employees. Like Anton, who's home to look after his daughters during their holidays.
Hello!
To him, this is the best sound in the world. Actually, maybe that's the best sound of all. Now that's term time working. Offered at Amazon. 10 weeks off guaranteed per year. Mix of paid holiday and unpaid time off. Conditions apply.
Waitrose presents...
I really fancy a mince pie.
One man's selfless journey from sofa to kitchen.
I'm getting up.
For a number one golden mince pie with juicy golden raisins, cherries and apricots, and zesty limoncello.
With some cream.
For a number one golden mince pie with juicy golden raisins, cherries and apricots, zesty limoncello, and a dollop of fresh cream.
Limoncello.
Waitrose, the home of food lovers. Selected stores subject to availability.
You're already looking at the Galaxy Watch Ultra with Galaxy AI to provide health tracking and insights. Need another reason to buy? Here's one. You can now save £150 off thanks to our incredible Black Friday event. The upgrade you want and the best deals you probably hadn't expected. But let's not hang around. This deal won't. The Galaxy Black Friday event is on right now. Buy yours at Samsung.com. Purchase from Samsung.com by the 2nd of December.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
Each time we've come to this morning, the reaction has been phenomenal about leaving the United Kingdom. Sadly, you're doing it in record numbers. Stephen's in Gloucester. Stephen, your reaction. Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Nick. Thanks for having me on. I can appreciate, you know, listening to some of your callers, why people perhaps want to leave the country. They're looking for a better life. And they're squeezed, you know, they're taxed too highly. Yeah. They can't afford rent, they can't afford childcare, all that stuff. Even middle earners are feeling squeezed. What I don't understand with this country is that we're the sixth largest economy in the world, apparently. the economy, the value of the UK economy is worth trillions of American dollars, if you measure it in American dollars. Mm-hmm. So why are the elderly not able to keep their homes? Why are middle-class earners not able to afford to live here? You know, what's actually happened to the economy? We're absolutely awash with wealth. And yet, none of it seems to be getting to the people that are that would actually grow the economy if they stayed here.
But couldn't we say the same about an economy even larger than ours? Couldn't we say the same about the United States, where you have people who are living the most extraordinary, fantastic, billionaire lifestyle in, let's say, California, yeah, and you've got other people living in trailer parks in Mississippi?
Well, absolutely, yeah.
So it's just the inequality I don't think that's a uniquely... Do you think that's a uniquely British thing? I don't think it is.
No, I don't, actually. But it does apply to Britain. It does apply to the UK.
Yes.
And it's probably the reason why quite a lot of people are leaving. It's because there's a massive massive inequality in the distribution of wealth. It's not as though we're a poor country and we can't afford these things.
Yeah.
We could actually afford to fund the national health. We could
No, we couldn't.
Yes, we could afford it.
No, we couldn't.
Because there's enough wealth in the country to actually afford that, really wanted to.
No, there isn't. The National Health Service, as it is currently constituted, is unsustainable. No one will ever say that, but it's a fact.
Yeah,
and people like me should have to pay to see a doctor. It's quite simple. I don't know, 20 quid or whatever it might be. That's the only way this is going to work.
Well, I don't know whether I agree with that, but my basic point is that we're totally awash with wealth in this country.
You said that twice, but per capita, America, the United States is much wealthier, Stephen, but it doesn't work there either, sir.
Yes, so there's something fundamentally wrong with the way...
Well, there's no point going to the communist idea, because you go to China, which is a massive economy, and you've got people there living on a dollar a week. So that doesn't work either.
Yes, it just shows that there is a massive inequality. And when people start saying you can't tax the rich anymore because they're going to run away and all of that, and we need to rely on the trickle-down economy, I'm old enough to remember Maggie Thatcher's trickle-down economy theory, but we get bigger crumbs.
But does it not bother you that 16,500 millionaires have left the country this year? Think of the tax they've taken with them. Does that not bother you?
Yes, I agree with all of that, but I still think the UK is a brilliant country to live in.
I agree.
And we just need to enhance our public services.
Okay. I don't know how you could possibly countenance spending even more money on the National Health Service, where it's not working efficiently as it should now. But, Stephen, it's been a very interesting conversation. Let's agree to disagree. Agreeably. Thank you. Carl in Cheshire. It's pathetic, all these people jumping ship to Dubai. It's not because Britain is rubbish, it's because they want a bougie Premier League lifestyle. They want less work for more money. Well, Carl, I hope you were listening to Kirsty in Greenwich. It's nothing like that. She just wants safety for her 13-year-old daughter. She wants her to be able to walk, I imagine, to and from school or college without being fearful of it. Nothing to do with wanting to be a Premier League football player. Daniel's in Reading. Daniel, what can you tell me about the Middle East? Good morning.
Oh, hello. Good morning. First time caller for you here, Nick.
Great to have you on, sir.
So, I've lived in the UAE, I've lived in Oman, I've lived in Taiwan, I've lived abroad for about 16 years.
Okay.
The UAE is a nice place to live, but it also has a dark side. It's propped up by Gulf oil money, and their legal system is such that if something goes wrong, it goes terribly wrong, and you're put in jail. And there's no recourse, you know, or anything like that. So, you know, it's a place where, I'll give you an example. One of the expat rugby clubs there, when I was there, one of the boys had tackled an Emirati, a local national person, and he'd accidentally broken his arm. The Emirati family wanted to put that kid in jail, had to fly his son out of the country so that wouldn't happen. And that happens a lot. There's all sorts of situations like that happens a lot. They protect their own, and they only want you there for the period of time that you're there. So you do your time, you do your 2 or 3 years, and then you leave. That's what they want over there. You do earn a lot of money, but there's no freedom of speech either. So you have to be careful what you say. You don't criticize the leaders of the country. And, you know, nobody talks about that. They all talk about this gold bling bling dream, which it is for some, but for some it can go horribly wrong.
If you had children or you had a child, he, she, they said, we want to go and work in the UAE, we want to go and work in Dubai, in Oman, what would you say?
I'd say go ahead. It's up to them. It's their life. You know, I can't make that decision for them. But I would say to them, you know, be careful when you're there. Respect their culture, respect their values and traditions, and you'll be fine. But there's no freedom of speech. You can't say what you want. And I know people who have been arrested for saying certain things, even in public, because there's undercover police there all the time. And nobody talks about that. It is a police state, and it's a benevolent dictatorship, and nobody seems to talk about that. But you earn good money, so as long as you shut up and put up, you'll be fine.
So you've led quite a nomadic life. Why have you chosen, and I'm delighted that you have, why have you chosen, it would appear, to put roots down here in the UK?
Yeah, well, I didn't make the decision to come to the UAE myself. It was my ex-wife back then, and I didn't really know what it was about. I went there. It's not my type of place. After a while, I did get fed up, and I wanted to come back to the UK. We have so much here that is good, that we have that. I know we talk about freedom of speech, and I'm talking that, you know, within a boundary, but we have so much that's good here. We have so much to be proud of our culture. You know, I walked outside the house this morning, it started snowing. The other day it was sunny, and I know we all talk about the weather, but there's so many good things here.
Well, hold on, Daniel, don't go. Benny in Hitchin. Benny, you're thinking of going to the, leaving the UK to go to the UAE. What do you make of what you've heard from Daniel?
Well, yeah, really good points, and I suppose even taking it back a step, you've got to think, why are people trying to leave? And who are the people trying to leave? And I think I'm one of those people who, and I've travelled for work and I've travelled to lots of other countries, I've never thought, I've been really happy bringing my kids up in the UK. But what I'll do, I'll take it back a bit. I left school with 3 GCSEs, mm-hmm. and some people would say fortunate, but I've worked really hard and was part of a company, and I sold my shares, and I've put all of that money into growing another company in the UK. That I can work from anywhere in the world. But I sacrificed seeing my kids grow up. Me and my wife wanted one of us at home to look after, and we sacrificed it. We got to the point where we could put one and hopefully a second boy into private school. We're now paying more for that. My energy bills have gone up to nearly £700 a month, and they're talking that I'm the problem to be taxed more. So I'm going to look at other
options. Daniel's just told us. You don't have free speech if you were to go to the UAE.
I mean, I know people. I know a lot of people from my industry who have already done it, and I'm not hearing the same thing as Daniel is.
Daniel, what would you say to Benny? Daniel? Daniel?
Well, like I say, if you do... Hi there. Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead. What would you say to Benny?
I mean, like I say, if you do something there that you know, just you could do something inadvertently, like there was a chap that... brushed hands against somebody, upset someone, and he's in jail the next day. So, look, if you do the right thing, you respect the culture, you respect the tradition and values and everything, you'll be fine.
Last word to you, Benny.
Well, I'd hope that anyone coming to the UK would respect our culture and respect our values as well. So I don't actually see that a country's asking me to do that. If I emigrate, there is a major problem.
Benny, Daniel, thank you. Good luck with whatever decision you make. I'm done for today. If you missed the show, listen back on Free Global Player app or the new LBC app. You can stay up to date on the top stories and opinions, put your news categories in the order you want, pause and rewind live radio and listen to a range of podcasts. Download the official LBC app for free from your app store now. I'm done for the day. James O'Brien's waiting the other side of the news on LBC. And I'll be with you tomorrow morning from 7. Meantime, stay safe.
Thank you, Nick. So many Sharia law fans. Who knew? It's coming up to 10 o'clock. We may return to that story a little later in the programme. I told you yesterday that people who talk about nothing other than immigration would somehow find a way to turn plummeting immigration figures into a critique, a negative of their own country, and step forward the Daily Mail to prove our point in spectacular fashion. But it's the front page of another newspaper that I want to draw your attention to next. Do you remember, possibly the young people still do this, when you would say duh in response to a stupid question? Someone would ask you something and you would go duh, as if everybody knows the answer to that. I've got a question that possibly gets filed under duh for you. What's our army for?
On your radio, on the LBC app and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From
Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock, a scathing review has found that the UK lacks a plan to defend itself from a military attack. The Defence Select Committee says it's seen no sign of a promised national conversation on the issue, despite threats from Russia and China. Chair of the committee, Tandesi, has spoken to LBC.
It also became abundantly clear to us that the UK and its European NATO allies remain over-reliant on the US as they have failed to invest in critical capabilities, basically benefiting from the peace dividend. And we're also now calling on the UK government to urgently strengthen both its conventional and nuclear capabilities.
The report comes as ministers announce 13 potential new sites for arms factories. The Defence Minister says the government is looking carefully into the use of Chinese vehicles for Ministry of Defence staff. It's after reports suggest that stickers banning workers from discussing state secrets have been fitted inside a fleet of electric cars. MI5 warned yesterday that politicians face a significant risk of espionage from the Chinese state. Minister Luke Pollard has told LBC new guidance has been issued to defence staff.
When we talk about the pervasiveness of Chinese technologies and the vulnerability that creates, those Chinese technologies exist in cars manufactured not just in China, but across the world as well. That's why we're looking at what measures can prudently be taken. And in the immediate term, we're asking people not to have classified conversations. I think that's pretty reasonable to say don't have that in a vehicle, have it in a secure location.
Beijing has dismissed MI5's claims. The rate of inflation slowed slightly last month. It eased to 3.6% in the year to October after standing at 3.8% in September. It's the last set of figures before next week's budget. The Chancellor, Rachel Reeves, has welcomed the data but says she's determined to do more to bring prices down. US politicians have paved the way for Donald Trump to publish more files into the investigation of Jeffrey Epstein. The US Congress voted to force officials to release documents into the late sex offender. And the studies found a record 15 million people experienced an issue with their most recent parcel delivery. Late arrivals or items being left in insecure locations were among the most common issues. Yodel came last in Citizens Advice's league table. Royal Mail came out top. In the city, a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading down 1 at 95.55. The pound buys $1.31 and a euro 13. LBC weather, dry, cold and sunny for many. Some wintry showers for the far north of Scotland. A high of 6 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
Sounds like Arjun is going to wake up feeling fresh. And it's a good job. Because he's got a big presentation to nail just down the road. Get better sleep for your money. Book your next work stay at Premier Inn. Breakfast subject to availability. T's and C's apply.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation with James O'Brien.
It's 3 minutes after ten. A very good morning indeed to you. It's probably my second favourite, but we've never done it before on the programme, as in memories from my school days that inform the way I do my job today. You're familiar with what was it like. I'm not telling the whole story, but it underpins the philosophy, if we dared to be grand enough to suggest that this programme, this radio entertainment, has anything akin to a philosophy. What was it like is a crucial part of the time we spend together, because whatever the subject is, if somebody has lived it, their recollections, their descriptions of what it was like. I don't know if you were listening yesterday to that extraordinary woman who described leaving, was it Sammy in Leeds, described leaving her husband and the way her life bloomed and blossomed as a consequence of that. It was always going to be a million times more compelling and more interesting than people ringing in with an opinion about the subject that was under discussion. Well, maybe not always, but most of the time. What was it like is the question that brings the best possible responses. But on a much lower level, questions to which the answer used to be duh. Do you remember? You remember that? Someone was, you'd ask a question like, why does that happen? And someone would go, duh, as if everybody should know the answer, as if it was blooming obvious, as if it was crystal clear why something happens, why we do something, why X equals Y plus 2, whatever it might be. If you ask a stupid question, if you're anything even remotely close to my age, you would answer, duh, duh. Duh brain, I think, was the noun that came from the sound effect. You would be adjudged a duh brain if you asked something stupid. You see, foolishly, to knit these two things together, I think that we regarded the lad at school who coined the phrase, what was it like? I think we regarded him as a bit of a duh brain, but as we've discussed many times in the past, in fact, that's a question of such extraordinary perspicacity that we don't notice its brilliance at the time. And I love questions to which the answer is duh. So Mystery Hour, which we do every Thursday on this programme, so popular it spawned its own board game, was born in the space usually occupied by the bleeding obvious. I think one of the very first questions that made me think, maybe we could do something every week that addresses the sublime, the silly and the serious. I think one of the very first questions we ever did was, why is gold valuable? To which you could be forgiven for responding, duh, you duh brain, O'Brien, James O'Duh brain. But why is gold valuable? See? It's not immediately obvious. Don't ring in. That's not the phone in. I don't know whether we will reach 11 o'clock this morning and conclude that this was a question of similar layers, a question that lends itself to similar sort of contemplations. But I, leaving aside the rather obvious question of whether it's a good idea to tell the world that we're not ready to defend ourselves, which is the conclusion of a year-long inquiry by the Commons Defence Committee, warning that Labour is moving at a glacial pace in the face of renewed threats from Russia and China, also failing to meet our NATO Article 3 defence obligations to maintain and develop individual and collective capacity to resist armed attack. Now, I don't think it addresses the prospect or the possibility of a sort of an actual invasion, but here we are. We are not able to defend ourselves from, I guess, what you might call state-sanctioned terror attacks, or perhaps the kind of thing that we've witnessed in Poland, where people have, fans of Russia, fans of Vladimir Putin, have been trying to commit sabotage on Polish territory. So these tentacles reach far. But I was sitting here thinking, what am I going to ask you this morning? Am I going to ask you whether you are frightened of being invaded? Whether you are frightened of being invaded? Do you actually... There was a thing last year, I don't know if you remember it, when I didn't get my head around this. I've got to be honest with you. It was one of those things that didn't... I mean, I was aware of it, but I did not understand it. There was a thing last year where young men, apparently, were constantly thinking about the Roman Empire. Do you remember this? It was a meme. It was a craze. It was a fad. Everywhere you went, people would be, how many times a day do you think about the Roman Empire? And I never got that. I sat here feeling a bit like my dad did when I got off the bus at Digbeth coach station in Birmingham, wearing my recently purchased Pride and Joy of jeans that already had holes in them that I'd bought, I think, from Hyper Hyper on Kensington High Street. And my dad was just absolutely baffled. He goes, so you've done what, son? You've bought someone else's old kecks that have already got holes in them. I said, designer holes, Dad. Designer holes. And he was, probably a slight combination of love and befuddlement. But he was just completely baffled. It was as if there were no words in the English language that